Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
On today's Part of My Take, bowling. We've got bowling, Super Bowling, Super Bowl storylines, and bowling. The Bowlerama at Bowlero happened. We're going to recap it. We have Pete Weber. Who do you think you are? Or I am that guy, maybe the best bowler of all time on the show. Great interview with him. We're going to talk about the entire day in a bowling alley. Like I said, Super Bowl storyline, Sean Payton to the Broncos, hot seat, cool throne. Very fun interview. I'm very excited for people to listen to. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. Today is Wednesday, February 1st, and Sean Payton is head coach of the Denver Broncos.
Let's go, Sean.
Good job, Sean.
You got a job. And a little birdie told me Vic Fangio might be joining him.
Ooh.
So Fangio was all but confirmed to go to the Dolphins on, what, Sunday?
Yeah.
Psych, record scratch. He might go to Denver. He used to be the head coach in Denver.
That's true.
But it's a new ownership group.
That's
so
true.
So he might be
also
willing to
true.
Go back. And then he might also be talking to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because they lost their defense coordinator, D'Amico Ryans, who's now head coach of the Houston Texans.
Yes. So we had a little source off breaking news on Tuesday. It was announced that Sean Payton was going to the Broncos, and then almost instantly after, D'Amico Ryans was going to the Texans. And Schefter said it was a coincidence. Rappaport said that the Broncos were trying very hard to get D'Amico Ryans. When they couldn't, they went to plan B, Sean Payton, which seems a little weird, but I also don't think there was a coincidence there. The timing of both announcements felt more than coincidental. So I think I'm going to side with Rappaport on that there was more to it than just a complete coincidence that they were announced within minutes of each other.
Well, Rappaport is the Walmart Schefter, so it would make sense that he would have a closer tie in with the Broncos ownership group.
Yes.
But I do think that there's a good possibility that D'Amico Ryans wanted to go to the Houston Texans.
Yes, where he played.
Obviously, he played there. This is crazy. Did you know that he sued the Houston Texans?
No.
He sued the Houston Texans like 7-8 years ago because this is when he was on the Eagles. He said that their playing field caused a knee injury for him.
We are team grass.
We are team grass, but they do have grass, I think. Don't
no.
they?
No, they're indoors.
The Texans?
Yeah.
NRG Stadium? No, it's got an open roof on it.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a retractable roof.
Yeah.
Is it grass?
That was the one Gaga came down from.
That's right.
At the Super Bowl.
But
I don't
it's
think
usually
it's,
open.
I don't think it's grass, is it?
And I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it is grass.
Yeah. They roll in
really?
The grass.
Yeah,
no, they don't roll it in
no,
there.
No, that's but Arizona.
Big Cat, it's grass, but it's shit grass. Because that's where, I think that's where
shit,
Jules.
It's so bad at grass.
I think that's where Jules tore his ACL. Non-contact. Either him or Wes Welker, one of the two.
Damn.
One of those guys had a non-contact.
Oh, no, it's not anymore. It used to be. Texans ditching grass for artificial turf. This was in 2015.
Okay.
Artificial surface. Okay, well, I learned something. You learned something.
Yeah, so...
We both learned something. So it might have been grass when he was playing.
It might have been. D'Amico Ryans sued the Texans. He ended up settling with the group that, like, installs the playing surface.
Okay.
Not involving the team in the final outcome. Probably pretty glad that he didn't go through that lawsuit against the team themselves, because now he's their head coach.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that's so... And it feels like the Texans finally got a head coach they want to keep around for more than a year.
I don't think that they hired D'Amico Ryans to fire him.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that way. I think we both called it for the last 2 years. It felt like they were hiring Lovie Smith to fire him in a year just because they needed to get some of the heat off him because they were rumored to be trying to hire Josh McCown at the time. And then before that, there was the David Culley experience. Which,
yes.
God bless David Culley.
And for Sean Payton, so... people have been saying, why would he do this? He left. He could have gone to any team. Well, the Walton family has the most money, like, ever. So they probably cut him an enormous check. They also didn't have to give up as much as I thought. Like, it's the 29th pick this year. So the pick that the Broncos got in return for Bradley Chubb, which was, I think, the 49ers pick. Mm-hmm. So they got that. They have to give up that. They have to give up their second rounder next year. They get a third rounder back from the Saints, and they get Sean Payton. And if you're the Broncos, like, that Sean Payton's worth more than the 29th pick when it's been so bad, and you've invested in Russell Wilson. You got to figure out a way to fix him.
Yeah,
that's the biggest piece. Like, who better to fix a short quarterback whose arm might be, like, losing a little bit of the steam?
Sus.
Oh. How about the guy who coached a short quarterback whose arm wasn't the strongest? He's the perfect guy.
Yeah. Plus, we get a sequel to the Kevin James movie.
Yeah.
Where he goes to Denver and starts his own grow op. So that'll be nice. I think that he's a good fit out there. I think that he's...
But it's money.
It's money.
It's money. Because the other argument would be, why would you want to go into Patrick Mahomes' division? I get that as well.
It's money.
He's probably getting paid like $25 million a year.
It's money. It's a good opportunity for him to go out and get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
But he's also a very good coach.
But it's money.
And he's in maybe the worst division in sports. Let's get real.
But it's
money.
That
division sucks.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do a complete reversal on our takes from last year about that division until proven otherwise. Although, Skip Bayless, that motherfucker, he predicted the C-words to win the Super Bowl already.
Oh, wow.
And now he's got me thinking.
It's a little early to do Super Bowl.
Now he's got a man thinking about maybe my C-words take, but we can get to that later. But
it's money.
It's money.
He's going to get paid a lot of money.
He's going to get paid a shitload of money to coach the Broncos. He's probably going to be okay. I can't remember, and maybe there's like a very easy answer that's right in front of my face, besides Andy Reid. Okay, we're taking Andy Reid off the board here. Has there been a coach that, like, walked away and then came back for a big payday somewhere else, and he's been better at his second location than he was at
Bill Cowher's still out there.
Bill Cowher's still remaining, yeah.
Remember how Bill Cowher was just in the...
Just always tossing
like
around.
10 years. Walked away from the NFL, like, or coaching in general?
Walked away from coaching...
Because he really didn't walk away for that long.
Walked away from coaching in the NFL and did something similar. I mean, Belichick left the Jets after a day.
I was going to say, Pete Carroll left the NFL and then came back and was very successful.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who left...
Parcells, but he wasn't that successful.
I mean, Mike McCarthy, we'll see how that goes. He did walk.
He did
get fired. He got fired.
He rolled away.
Yeah, rolled away and then came back. That's a good question. I don't know. I'd have to, off the top of my head.
Because maybe I'm just not thinking. Well, Andy Reid is obviously the exception to this rule.
And Andy Reid didn't even walk away, didn't he? He got a job right away.
He got fired. I don't know how long he was in between jobs for. It wasn't long.
I want to say it was right away.
So the vibe that I'm getting is that he's going to come back. He's going to be a decent head coach because he has forgotten more about football than we'll ever know.
Yes.
And he's done it for long enough that I think he knows how to run a team. So it's going to be a completely different look for the Broncos as opposed to what they dealt with this year. Like, Sean Payton is maybe the complete opposite of Nathaniel Hackett.
I would say that's probably true.
So yes. I think that it's a good hire for Denver, and but I don't see him, like, winning Super Bowls in Denver.
Yeah.
At least not with Russell Wilson.
Yeah. So, yeah, Andy Reid was he was out of a job for 5 days.
Okay.
Five days.
So Andy Reid stepped away from football.
For 5 days.
For 5 days.
He left the Eagles on December 31st, 2012, and he was hired by the Chiefs on January 4th, 2013.
Yeah, is there a coach out there that is that has left coaching football entirely for a full season or longer that came back that's stronger?
We're definitely forgetting someone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Very obvious, and people are going to – this is one of those moments where people – I mean, no, John Gruden, that didn't go well.
No. We're just having the conversation. I'm merely asking questions.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those moments where everyone's like, how did you guys forget about this guy?
Or I'm going to forget that, like, Bill Walsh coached, I don't know, like, the Vikings for a month back in 1960.
Do you know who the answer might be? Let's see how long. I can't remember how long he was away. I'm going to pull it up. The answer could be... Nope, Mike Holmgren also went just straight from the Packers to the Seahawks. I couldn't remember if there was a year in between.
That's a good choice, though.
Because that would be, yeah, that would be the guy. I think the Broncos had to do this move, and it's money. I would love to know how much he's getting paid.
Yeah,
maybe we can ask him in Indy.
They should definitely publicize how much coaches make.
We need to be like Sean Payton, yes or no question, just be like, I would like to just know how many zeros. No, because it's definitely more than $10 million.
Or actually, you think it's more? I think it's probably right around $10 million.
Oh, it's definitely more than $10 million.
How much does Belichick
make? We don't know. That's the best part about NFL coaches. We don't know how much they make. But Bill Belichick probably makes like $15-20 million a year.
We knew how much Gruden made.
Yeah.
His contract was public for
that was $10 million.
Yeah.
So he's definitely getting paid more than Gruden, I think. Because it's a rich owner who's desperate to have a competent organization again, and Sean Payton who could go out and do the bidding anywhere he wanted.
That's true.
So it's got to be a pretty, pretty big dollar.
I'm seeing, and now this is on Spotrac.
Okay.
It says that when he was with the Saints, his salary was 5 years, $42.5 million. So $8.5 million per year.
Yeah, so he's definitely getting probably at least 15,
10,
I would say.
10 plus.
I would say at least 15. Okay.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Let's talk some Super Bowl storylines. We said we'd do it on Wednesday, and it's Wednesday. It actually is Tuesday right now. Happy birthday, PFT. It's still your birthday.
Thanks, Big Cat. Happy birthday on Monday.
Birthday week, yeah. How do we want to start Super Bowl storylines? Should we just go from the obvious and then whittle it down? I also asked Hank to make a haters list to watching the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Because he hates this.
Speaking of obvious storylines,
this is wild. Yeah. Travis Kelce is on TV right now. He's at the Kansas State game. Storyline number one. Did you guys know that the Kelce brothers brothers?
So I didn't until you just said it that way.
Yeah, it's kind of wild when you put it that way.
Yeah. So I have a take, and I know that this one's going to get beaten to death, the Kelce brothers. It's going to be talked about nonstop. It's probably, outside of Andy Reid and the Eagles, it's probably the number one Super Bowl storyline. I actually think it is very crazy. Like,
it's really cool.
They are the first two brothers to face off in a Super Bowl, and they're both really fucking good.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where people are going to make jokes about how everyone's, you know, overstating it. I actually think it's wild.
It's very cool.
I think it's wild.
It is wild.
And let me say, if you're the parents, none of this I'm not picking sides bullshit. Mom needs to pick one kid. Dad needs to pick the other.
Yeah,
and well, they both have one too.
They both have one. It's for bragging rights,
and they're both like really, really good at their position. They're like amongst the all time greats at their position.
They're both number one at their position right now in the NFL, probably. And they're both,
for sure. They're definitely both one.
What would you say in terms of most important players on their team? What's Jason? He's probably like the third most important player on the team. Travis is probably two. And then Travis. So they're both like, that's the crazy part. It's not that they're just playing against each other. They're both fucking awesome. And the mom, they're both probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And yeah, the mom, I think the mom's going to probably go with
Jason. She's a Jason guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Dad go with Travis.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
Travis is a dad. You know that. That dad picked the name Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom picked Jason.
Yes, yes.
She got the split jersey ready, too.
Yeah, she does. And it actually, the way she split the jersey, the inside is Travis. I feel like that might go against what we just said.
There's more red than green there.
Yeah, there's way more red.
She has the shoulders on the green.
And that's like if you see her, you're going to see a lot more red. So maybe we had it reversed. Maybe it's actually...
I don't know what the back is.
The back is probably Jason.
The back? Yeah, the back looks purple. Yeah.
Okay, so that's first storyline.
Billy, what's this look?
What do you got,
You have something to say.
Billy's got something hilarious.
Tell me what you're...
Well, also for the first time, the two quarterbacks are also brothers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I did have that on there, but man, that was a way to introduce it.
I was just going to point out that this is the first Super Bowl where both backup quarterbacks are white while the players that they back up are African Americans.
Yes. Yes. But it is the first Super Bowl, which is a very cool thing. Two black quarterbacks starting in the Super Bowl. Speaking of Jalen Hurts, I also think there'll be a little storyline. Last time he played in a championship game, he got benched in half.
Yeah.
Will Gardner Minshew come in?
I actually had that exact storyline on my list. Yeah. Yes.
Can I start?
We'll get to you.
Okay.
We'll get to
How about this? People are talking about the Kelce brothers the quarterback brothers, but no one's talking about Fletcher Cox and Gainwell being cousins.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you know that?
That's very cool.
Whoa.
Another thing no one's talking about is no matter who wins the Super Bowl, it will be the 22nd Lombardi Trophy for a Wisconsin Badger. Not a lot of people are talking about that. So Leo Chenal on the Chiefs, and who's on the who is it on the fucking? I know it. T.J. Edwards on the Eagles.
Okay.
So linebacker, you. So someone's getting it. So not a lot. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it. Think it should be talked about more.
We've also got two Australians in this game.
Ooh.
Jordan Mailata. There's definitely going to be some stories about how Jordan Mailata did not play American football until he was super old.
Yep.
And then somebody in Australia was like, hey, Mike, you're 5 stone and whatever 6'8" is.
Yep.
And hey, maybe you want to go give this a shot. And now he's like one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah. Chiefsaholic. I saw there was a piece on him in the New York Times, maybe trying to cuck you, Billy.
Low key.
So,
I provided a lot of the New York Times content last week.
You did. You did the reporting. They just did a fucking, a mixtape of your reporting.
Billy's the gray bro. I like it.
Yeah.
There's also, everyone's talking about Andy Reid, former coach of the Eagles.
Well,
one's talking about Nick Sirianni, former coach for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
He was their wide receivers coach for many years, offensive quality control guy. He was there in Kansas City for, I think, 4 years before the new regime came in. Andy Reid didn't hire him to stick around.
Wow.
Then revenge he leaves. Game. Yeah, revenge game.
And the Andy Reid storyline is also one of those ones that will get overblown, but is very cool. He's the winningest coach in Eagles history by almost double. Do you know who's second?
Buddy Ryan.
Who's second? No. Max, it's actually not one of those, I'm not trying to put you on the spot because it's one that no one should really know.
I have no idea.
It is Greasy Neal.
Ah.
Greasy Neal. And I went down a rabbit hole of Greasy Neal facts. I just want to share a little Greasy Neal stuff. So Andy Reid has 224 games coached for the Eagles. Greasy Neal has 111. Andy Reid, like I said, most wins for the Eagles all time. Greasy Neal played professional football, also played in Major League Baseball. He did it at the same time, so he was Dion or Bo before those guys. He won the World Series in 1919 with the Reds, hitting .357 in the World Series. He also coached the Eagles to 2 titles. He coached the Steagles during World War II. He coached college football and coached a team to a shared national title, including the only 0-0 tie in Rose Bowl history. He also coached college basketball for 2 years and college baseball for 6 years. This dude did it all.
Is he the
Greasy Neal?
The greatest coach, the most versatile coach.
I mean, that's crazy.
Of all time. That is nuts.
Yeah. The fact that he was playing with Jim Thorpe in what was before the National Football League while also winning a World Series with the Reds.
So, shout out Greasy Neal.
Greasy Neal. What a guy. And his name is not because he was greasy on the football field. It was read that he got the nickname in a verbal joust when he was a kid.
And somebody just called him Greasy?
Yeah, I think they were just having a name off.
That's tough that one stuck.
Greasy Neal.
Okay, yeah. I like it. Shout out Greasy Neal.
Yeah, I just wanted to, share Greasy Neal. That's some great. And Andy Reid is going to, we're also going to get a lot of fun Andy Reid stories. I saw one that was retweeted from 2018 about Andy Reid, who grew up in L.A., and his favorite place is Tommy's Burgers in L.A., and he gets them flown to Kansas City, and he's quoted as saying, "They're good for your joints. The grease keeps you lubed up, man."
Yeah.
So
I mean, spot the lie.
We're just going to get fun Andy. Like, we're going to get the Andy Reid looking like 25 years old playing against 12-year-old pictures. Mm-hmm. We're going to get all that stuff. Andy yeah. Reid.
Andy Reid food stories.
And there's not enough Andy Reid stories. He's the best.
There's not. Every Andy Reid story that you hear, you never hear a story about Coach Reid, and you're like, oh, man, that dickhead. Well, you're always like, about Coach Reid.
Coach Reid.
About Andy Reid.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say.
About son. Andy Reid.
His son.
Yeah. But you never hear a bad story about Andy Reid.
Yeah, yeah. And Andy Reid, the coach.
Andy Reid, the coach, yes.
And he's a Mormon.
He's a Mormon, so...
He doesn't drink.
So this...
He just eats.
In true Mormon tradition, he will have an opportunity to get two rings.
Yeah, yes.
And Texas quarterbacks are back.
Yes.
So both quarterbacks from Texas, feels like we've been... I don't know, we haven't had the whole Texas quarterback discussion in a while. When we do have it, it's always like they happen to go to the same high school.
Yeah.
It just maybe like 5-6 years apart. This one, they're from completely different parts of the state. Neither one was recruited by Mack Brown to play safety at Texas. Two great quarterbacks from Texas. Texas back. This is the most Johnsons in Super Bowl history.
Mm.
There are four Johnsons playing in this
Whoa.
Game. So a lot of Johnsons.
Wow, that's a lot of Johnsons.
Johnsons everywhere.
I'm surprised that it hasn't happened before.
Yeah, okay, I got to admit, I kind of fudged this one a little bit.
Yeah, that one's fine.
I kind of assumed that this was the most Johnsons.
Let's just say it is.
I think it's the most Johnsons.
Yeah, yeah.
There's three of them on, I think, three on the Eagles.
Yeah. So this also is Andy Reid is trying to become the 14th coach to win multiple Super Bowls all time. So there's 13 coaches that won multiple Super Bowls. I'm going to say... Off the top of my head, I'm actually looking at it right now.
All in the Hall of Fame?
I think he'd be the first coach to win with two different teams. Yeah. Or no,
no,
he won with the Chiefs. I'm an idiot. Yeah. I was thinking he won with the Eagles. Yeah, so he'd be the 14th. Not all in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. Did Tom Flores get in the Hall of Fame? George Seifert's definitely not.
I don't know.
George Seifert has two. He also would then be on the precipice of joining the elite club. There's only four coaches that have won more than two Super Bowls. So it's Belichick, Chuck Knoll, Joe Gibbs, and Bill Walsh.
And I think he's got another one in him.
Right. So
with Mahomes.
And here's the other one with Mahomes. He would be the 13th starting quarterback to win two rings or more. And he would also be close to the elusive club of four starting quarterbacks who've won three or more. That's Tom Brady, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, and Troy Aikman. He also... If he loses this one, would join the very elusive club. There's only one other quarterback all time who's 1-2 starting in the Super Bowl. Anyone got it? Anyone got it?
It's not Aaron Rodgers.
No, he's only been to one. He's won the same amount of NFC Championship games as Rex Grossman.
It's
just a fact. That's not a hateful thing. That's just a fact.
One quarterback with two Super Bowl
no,
losses.
No, no. Yeah, 1-2.
One
exactly
and two.
1-2. There's obviously Jim Kelly lost four. There's quarterbacks who've lost more than that.
Yep.
But exactly 1-2.
Give me a hint.
It's happened in the last 25 years. 1-2 in the Super Bowl. That would be Kurt Warner.
I was actually just about to say Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. Won with the Rams, lost with the Rams, and then
lost
with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So Mahomes would be with Kurt Warner. It's the only other quarterback who's exactly 1-2 in the Super Bowl.
Is he the only quarterback, Kurt Warner? Is he the only quarterback to lose two Super Bowls with two separate teams?
Good question.
No, he's not. No, wait.
Peyton
Manning lost one with the Broncos, but he never lost one with the Colts, right?
He lost one with the Colts to the Saints.
To the Saints, that's right. There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would be elusive or very, very exclusive club that Patrick Mahomes would be joining 1-2.
So you're talking about Wisconsin, the storyline of a lot of Wisconsin players in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal.
Maybe
it's
we
just
should
like no matter
maybe
what, we get
should,
our 23rd Lombardi.
We should show some respect to the emergence of the University of New Jersey, Rutgers.
Mm.
They've got two running backs on the Chiefs from Rutgers. So they've got Pacheco.
Yep.
And then their fullback is also
Rutgers,
and he like never plays. But
that doesn't matter.
This is that room, the running back room, is dominated by the Scarlet Knights.
Yes, yes. So a lot of good Super Bowl storylines.
Oh, here's a
fun one.
This is also the first time that any team has had their two starting receivers both have hyphens in their name. Valdez Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's too bad Clyde Edwards-Helaire is injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is too bad. People forget Clyde Edwards-Helaire killed
and
the guy.
And J.J. Ortega-Whiteside isn't still on the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That would have been, you talk about a 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. That'd be super wild. Okay. Hank, are you ready for the haters guide to the Super Bowl?
Sure.
Lay it on us. So we told Hank, because he hates this Super Bowl, to go ahead and give us, for people who hate this Super Bowl, what they could be looking forward to in a bad way.
Jalen Hurts won the conference championship, spent the next night going upstate to New York to the Syracuse-Virginia game when he has no ties to Syracuse or Virginia. Just a weird move.
Shout out Adam Weitzman. Okay.
Though we talk Booster. About
it. Oh, is he who brought him?
Yeah.
Well, that's why. That's the connection. Money.
You don't know
he
that.
He brings up big-time celebrities
he
like
pays
every
guys
home
to
game.
Go to the games with them. It's actually like, honestly, I want to hate the move, but if I had endless money, I would do the same
thing. It's right on the scores table right next to Boeheim.
Yeah, like, wouldn't
it's
you
like
do
Boeheim,
the same thing if you're just like, hey,
this
I
is
can,
all right, we'll move on.
Like,
Brady
I
and Edelman,
pay,
right?
I could pay. Didn't yeah,
Edelman
Brady
go?
And Edelman. Giannis went. If
Jimmy
you could
Fallon,
just pay.
Yeah.
You gotta have some deep pockets.
Josh
to
Allen, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. To afford Tom Brady to come watch a game with you in upstate New York.
But how sick would that be if you had that money where you're like, all right, I got a private plane, show up, we'll hang out, we'll watch my favorite team.
I'll be there
we'll
for
take
the Duke
some pictures.
Game.
And that's it.
I gotta admit.
Shout
like,
out game time.
You would do the same if you had endless money.
It sounds kind of loser behavior.
It is. It does.
It's
but,
basically like you're a prostitute.
Okay.
It's like you're hiring male friends.
Listen, I've gone through this thought process because it was like 3 or 4 years ago, I asked, I think it was Hubs, because he went to Syracuse. He's like, what's the deal with this guy? Because he always had famous people with him. He's like, he's got a shitload of money. He's a huge booster. And he just pays for like famous people to go to games with him. And I was like, what a loser. And then I realized if I had $1 billion and I couldn't, if you're on that precipice where it's like you can't own a sports team, but you have so much money that you don't really know what to do with it, I think I'd probably do the same.
Okay, so I think
I'd just be like, hey, Justin Fields, you want to go to the Kohl Center real quick?
I think it's a huge loser move, and the guy's a loser. I'm going to continue to call him a loser until
like a nice
he
guy.
Offers for us to come watch a game
he
with him,
us.
In which case I will change my tune 100%, and this guy's the coolest guy in the entire state of New York.
Yes. Okay.
Maybe the world.
Hank,
I can be bought.
Why is Philadelphia content with second place if they lose the Super Bowl?
Oh.
Obviously, we know about the Phillies. We know about the soccer team.
What's the soccer team's name?
The Union.
Yeah, you got
nice.
It.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Did you? So this was something I was doing some research.
Well, I mean, it is a storyline.
Did you know that?
Content? Who said that?
Well, Philadelphia, Max, if you let me finish. Philadelphia, the Declaration, I don't know how much of a history buff you are. The Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, they're still the second state in the Union.
Yeah, well, the Constitution was the one that made them into states.
Mm-hmm. Still, second place.
Declaration of Independence, you know, is like, we're just like, we're out. We're done with
right.
England.
Constitution was like, we're start our own deal.
Yeah, we got our own game.
Who's in? And Delaware was like, pick me, I'm first.
Yeah.
Should have been Philly. Well, I mean, they were second. They were close, but they weren't there.
Well, they were thinking about taxes. We need to get our taxes done. You got to do Delaware.
Also, I think at one time they were the America's capital, and they kind of got that robbed, too.
They did, yeah. D.C. kind of swagger-jacked that.
Big time.
Again, that's kind of content with second place, Max.
That's true.
I don't care about history.
Patrick Mahomes is probably going to catch Tom Brady for most Super Bowl losses. That's you kind of brought that up. Stole my shine there.
He would get what?
He's on his way. Like, people are talking about how he's on his way to catching Tom Brady. The only thing that he's going to catch Tom Brady in is Super Bowl losses, not wins.
So this would tie him with Tom Brady
this
for
would,
Super Bowl
no,
losses.
No,
Tom Brady
has
three.
Yeah, Jim Kelly has four.
You guys are really just, do you want me to do this list or
all right, wait, say it again. Say
people
the fact
keep
again.
Talking about fact or fiction. Patrick Mahomes is going to catch up to Brady, right? That's the storyline.
Well, right.
In my eyes, he's going. The only thing that he's going to catch up to Brady on is Super Bowl losses.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
He would lose this one and would still need to lose another one. But if he did, then he would catch up to Tom Brady.
Losses.
Yeah.
Got it.
Catch up.
Foxes, and this is again. You wanted me to do the hater list, so this is something that haters are going to talk about. I don't necessarily agree. I love Greg Olson, but Fox is doing the game. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck aren't doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually seen nothing but praise for Greg Olson and Kevin Burkhardt over the last, like, month. People have just been going out of their way to compliment
them. They're very good.
Yeah, I think they're good, too. I'm just saying. I'm this is...
There will definitely be some people complaining, yes, but that just comes with the territory.
Yes.
I think and they're not real complaints like Romo.
I think the same people that complain about Joe Buck would be the same people that would complain about Joe Buck not doing the game.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
The biggest draw for this game is Rihanna.
There are definitely people who are going to tune into the Super Bowl being like, where's Joe Buck?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will happen.
Joe Buck should do his own alternate stream, like on Twitch.
Yeah. Rihanna's the biggest straw?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, someone tweeted me that, like, this is the most boring Super Bowl ever. I think they were just a hater. And they're like, it's just a Rihanna concert wrapped in a football game. I was like, okay.
That's still kind of cool.
Sounds cool.
Stephen A. Smith said one thing she's not is Beyonce, though.
That's true.
So Stephen A. is going to be watching just pretending she's Beyonce.
Yeah. Okay.
First,
well, he never said that because it got deleted.
What do you mean?
He deleted it off Twitter.
But then he made a personal apology video to Rihanna, which is like next level Stephen A.
But
Smith.
The real like video now, was
now,
not there.
Now Rihanna has to engage with me and talk to me about how yes. I'm sorry that I disregarded her.
Mm-hmm.
First Super Bowl in Arizona without the Patriots involved. Will anyone even care?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about that.
People are talking about that.
They are talking about that.
And then, I don't know, I mean, again, I guess Max doesn't care about history, he probably doesn't care about government either, but I don't know if you guys saw what the Philadelphia mayor said. He said, we'll blow the doors off this parade, I'm on my way out, I'll spend whatever they want. That's kind of nice if they win, but if they lose, you're just kind of admitting that you don't give a shit about doing your job and caring about your city.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. You know, again, I guess he doesn't care about that, because whatever, but...
Also, fun PMT storyline, this was the first Super Bowl city that Hank, PFT, and I all hung out.
It's yeah. true. In Arizona, yeah.
My 30th birthday.
That was yep. a fun time.
What yeah. a great
what a,
time.
What a great night.
It led to one of the craziest finishes in Super Bowl history.
It did, yeah.
I wasn't there for that.
That yeah. was I was there for that.
Oh, well, that week. Was,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Best weekend of my life.
And I peed in Dustin Pedroia's pool.
I'll count that as part of the weekend, but that was the best weekend of my life.
That okay. was a fantastic weekend. I was looking through my pictures on my phone the other day. For some reason, I was scrolling back to that weekend, and I had a picture. I sent it to Hank. It's of that snap right before Russell Wilson threw the Whoa. Interception. I sent it to him. I thought he would enjoy it.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. Okay. You always have those memories, you know?
Yeah, truly. Rick Ross.
Probably never party. Happen again, but like at least you've got those memories.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Hmm. Oh,
you, well, you guys, I will have those memories. You guys...
No.
They have no don't memories. Have
no memories.
No happiness.
Yep. We're like memento. We
but maybe this weekend. Maybe, you know, Max. I'm officially eat Chiefs.
What did Mike Ditka say?
Of course you are. Of course you are. The passes for cowards and losers.
Cowards and losers, said. Yeah.
No, of course. We all knew you were going to end up on the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's not really a surprise, Hank. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not also going to support the Chiefs, but... It was pretty obvious this whole time that you were not going to be on Philly's side.
Because you can convince yourself, and I actually kind of agree, like, reaching Tom Brady's Super Bowls is a monumental task. It's just, it's more like in the now, you want the Chiefs to win. Maybe in 10 years, you will be like, whoops, if he's going for his sixth.
Right, but I have to sit with this guy 2 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. Yeah, that's true.
Philly's also coming for Title Town. So.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
The Sixers?
Hottest team in the NBA.
The Phillies?
The Union?
The Union?
Yeah.
Titletown, baby.
You guys have to win
We're
the title
something.
First.
Every team in Philly
Max,
is very
Max,
good right
this
now.
Is,
Wait, who's, Ma- who's
Max,
the
you
best?
Need, you need
so
to
who's
chill
the
out.
Team
that was
a bad,
that was,
the
I should have
yeah.
said that. I should
Max,
have said
if
that.
I were you, I would delete this from this podcast.
Who is currently the number one team in the NBA, Max?
Who is currently the hottest team?
Who is currently the number one team in the NHL, Max?
I don't care about hockey.
Got it. All right. Just curious.
Max, I'm just
saying.
For the
record, it's the Celtics and the Bruins.
You should have at least one title under your belt, like current title, for you to start saying
that
title.
Or like one title in the last, I don't know, 10 years?
Well, the Eagles.
On the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay, they got one.
Yeah. It was pretty big. It was against your Patriots. Yeah.
You say, Bill.
All right, this was like a just set
no, that
me up
was
to
bad, that
no,
was a bad
wasn't,
thing for
no,
me
it wasn't.
Say.
I like that. The haters list. It was good.
Billy,
you got another brothers joke?
No, but trust the process has probably been the biggest Ponzi scheme ever, like perpetuated
yes.
on a city.
Literally,
I don't know. It kind of worked.
They've had like seven processes. None of them have worked.
The process.
But they got the guys. They just picked the wrong guys. Picked Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons, and Nerlens Noel. The actual, well, Embiid, yeah, of course, but I'm saying the process I always am a fan of the process because I always thought the brutal honesty of a team being like, we're trying to suck so that one day we can get good, yeah. I actually am a big fan of.
Yes, tanking works. It objectively works. If the Redskins had lost to that Dolphins team,
yeah.
I would have Joe Burrow right now. That's just a fact.
If Davis Mills hadn't thrown that touchdown pass, then the Bears wouldn't have the number one pick and Max wouldn't have a belly full of hot dogs right now, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay, should we do hot seat, cool throw?
Oh, one last story.
Yeah.
Will the Boses watch?
Oh.
Are the Boses going to watch? Because it was Nick Bosa. They asked him, and he said he was not going to watch the Super Bowl. And I need to know if Joey Bosa plans on watching the Super Bowl.
Solidarity, I think he can't watch.
Joey's had a bad last couple days.
Yeah.
There was the Bosa parking lot video. And then another video emerged of Bosa in the boxes, in the luxury suites at the game. And people were just showing him pictures of Trevor Lawrence on their phones, being like, this guy just kicked your ass.
Oh, man.
And he was, again, very, very triggered by the entire thing.
Yeah.
Just bad look for the Boses this week. I need to know, though, if either one of them will watch.
Yeah. Let the boy watch. Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, Hank, hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is Mr. Beast question mark.
Oh.
It's kind of similar to my Dana White question mark last week. Mr. Beast made a video, and Mr. Beast, for those that don't know, just does... He's a YouTuber, I think he's the biggest YouTuber that exists. He has like a bajillion subscribers, does a lot of videos where the premise of the video is just giving people money and having them do something, or having, you know, I brought 300 people to compete in a board game and the winner gets $1 million. Or just, he does all these types of pranks and stuff, but in general, he's just giving away money. He's a very generous guy, good-hearted dude. In his recent video, it was curing 1,000 people of blindness.
What?
That was the title of the video. Like, I cured 1,000 people of blindness. I think he paid for their medical stuff, but people are upset at him because they said he didn't do enough. Or, like, he was kind of using that as clickbait.
Oh,
and so now it's just a classic story of one of the most universally loved people. The internet is seemingly starting to turn on him.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if he's on the hot seat or not, because I think he's...
No, it's a bunch of fucking losers who sit on their computers all day, and he... If you have a ton of money, you can't do anything correct in their eyes. You could either, like, if you give it all away, they're going to be like, well, you did it for a tax write-off. Or if you don't give any away, you're like, why are you hoarding this money? Or if you do what Mr. Beast does and gives people a chance to win the money, it's like, well, you're taking advantage of them. You really can't win.
Or if you give people the surgery necessary to see, they're like, well, you're just using them for clout. But guess what? At the end of the day, he's still paying for, what, 1,000 people
right.
to be able to see, which is cool. I think the objection should be the fact that there are so many people out there that need a simple surgery that costs like $1,000 that can't afford it.
Right.
And then their entire lives would be changed and they would be able to go to work and have a real job and contribute back to society.
Yeah, be mad at how we do healthcare.
Be mad at healthcare, not at Mr. Beast.
Correct.
Providing single payer healthcare to these people as an individual.
That's a fact. And like the 300 people to play a board game to win $1 million, like... Who wouldn't want to compete in that?
Right.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I'm pro Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
For We're much Mr. the Beast same podcast. Reason why I'm pro that Syracuse guy now is because maybe one day he'll give me money.
Yeah. Who, Mr. Beast, just a thought. Who can stay in a bowling alley the longest for $1 million? We're up for it.
I'll do it.
Let us know.
My cool throw is Max Homa.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Saturday, he won $1.5 million, winning the Farmers Open tournament. On Monday, there's a Papago Monday Skins game in Arizona, which is just, you know, community game. He won. He showed up, won, shot a 67, won $400.
That's fucked up. That's fucked. That's fucked up, Max.
That. No, I like that.
No, we got to keep him humble, Max.
Well, he's a bitch.
You showed up and you took $400 from working class golfers.
You're Max, worse than Mr.
Better
Beast.
Or worse than Mr. Beast.
Worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. Max probably found out like Riggs was playing. He was like, "Well, I'm not letting that guy win any money."
Yeah. No, we. That's a cool move. I would do the same thing. Like I always say that. I mean, we're going to talk about it with Pete Weber. We talked about like him going, showing up and playing. In like rec leagues. And he's like, yeah, I still do it.
If you came in second, would you be mad or like, this is cool?
That's the risk you take.
Mad.
Yeah.
Oh, if I came in second to Max
in
that event, I'd be mad at Max. I'd be like, I mean, it's a cool story to tell, but at the end of the day, Max Homa just showed up fresh off a win.
But it actually is weirdly similar to Mr. Beast that like, if you want Max Homa to play in that game, if you play in that game, because what's, if you play the round of your life, you beat Max Homa. That's fucking cool. Like, imagine being like, yeah, I beat him. Like, if, you know, when LeBron
showed... He only won by one stroke, too.
Remember when LeBron
that's
got...
That's embarrassing, Max.
Remember when LeBron got dunked on and then he got deleted from the internet?
Yeah.
That poor guy, like, he dunked on LeBron. That's fucking awesome.
I still think that... Come on, Max. Let the community golfers have their $400.
Spend more time with your kid.
You see what he said on the radio? Speaking of that, he usually doesn't keep golf balls, but he kept the one from his win to give to his son down the road one day. His
shit, first no, son he cucked dad. Me on that.
Well, his son's going to be like, what do I do with this?
Great to see. Great story.
His son's going to be like, I'm too dad.
Does this come off? I'm going to take this off and give it to my kids.
That thing is disgusting.
It's so gross. It's so gross. All right. PFT, your hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is artificial intelligence. Because, you know, that ChatGPT artificial intelligence thing? Well, they've designed a feature on it.
Yeah.
And the new feature is an AI system that can tell when its own AI system has been used to write a paper or a blog, maybe, or anything. So, on one hand, I'm glad that they came up with this. On the other, it's a little weird that now we're trusting robots to police themselves for being robots. This seems like we're just... Every story that comes out about AI in the last 6-8 months just feels like we're just doing Skynet. It feels like it's Terminator all over again.
I hope this new robot is not real and they're just using it to scare people. Like, you know, like peeing in the pool and your you know, bathing suits turned purple.
Yeah,
or like, that was never real.
Yeah.
Or like they just Santa. Scared the whole country. Yeah.
It's like right. You better behave because AI Claus is looking out.
Yeah, Billy should be scared.
I'm not scared.
Oh, okay.
We need you to test this out, Billy.
I know. I just like interviewing the chat robot about news about it, and it makes great blogs.
You think that that's going to give you trustworthy information?
I'm just like, yo, ChatGPT, what do you think about Microsoft buying you? Do you trust Bill Gates? Mm. And then it gets really funny.
What does he say?
You're basically just sitting talking to Smarter Child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Smarter Child. That's a nice throwback.
Yeah.
What's Smarter Child?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you didn't have AIM or AIM, whatever you want to call it.
PFT, your cool throne.
My cool throne is some guy on Twitch. I forget the guy's name.
Speaking of AI.
It's some guy on Twitch. I saw a video of him last night. I don't know what the fuck I watched.
Atria.
I didn't understand what was going on, but best, I didn't want to learn any more about it. I sent a link to Hank, and I want Hank to explain it, but I'm... Can I try to explain it best
Please.
Of my understanding?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
Okay, so this guy, he's a guy on Twitch, and he lives with his girlfriend / wife.
Wife.
Okay, so he lives with his wife.
Maybe fiance.
And this guy watched porn, and his wife caught him watching porn, and then he made her sit next to him while he did a Twitch stream apologizing and made her cry because she was watching her husband apologize for jacking off.
Wait, Dan Orlovsky did a Twitch stream?
No, it was Alex Bennett.
Oh, okay.
No, but he was like straight up apologizing to his wife, and his wife was in tears, and he was in tears, and he was like, I'm sorry, in a moment of weakness, I typed in YouPorn, and then I clicked on one of the games. You know, like the games that say, I bet you won't last? I didn't know anyone ever clicked on those. This guy did and got caught.
Damn.
So he didn't get caught. He got caught by his stream. Like he was streaming, he was on his internet browser. They saw the tab and they saw the website that it was and they're like, "What the fuck is this?" His video, he said, "I've been doing all this AI research, talking about all this AI and similar thing." It was a website that pops up. He's a popular streamer. He's friends with all the big female streamers.
Oh. Wait, so he can't watch porn?
The website that he was on is an AI porn website that is deep fake. It deep fakes the girls that he's friends with.
Okay, that's different.
So he's jacking off to his friends. Different.
That's fucked up.
Yes. But it wasn't. It wasn't even them. It was deep fakes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Like Pokimane.
Yeah,
like,
he's
names you're not gonna know.
He's
friends with them. Yeah, streams with them and you know interacts with them and stuff.
So that is kind of to be like, oh, this girl's hot. Let me deep fake a porn so I can jerk off to her.
And then, but then he made his wife sit there while he apologized for jacking off to his friend.
Yeah,
right. But that he makes said more he just sense. Clicked on it by accident.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And he was like, I've been doing all this AI research, so like. You tried to like tie Billy. It in. Yeah,
it's a real life Shaq meme. I'm sorry, Pokemon. I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah, damn, that's tough for him.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on the side because this whole like deepfake thing.
The poor wife. I'm on the side of the poor.
Yeah,
wife.
I'm on her side. She got brought onto a stream to cry for clout. That's tough.
As far as knowing that your husband's like jerking off to like the people that he basically works with, kind of like it's weird.
And he was like, "I've tried to be a good guy, and I had a moment of weakness." I don't know what his term for moment of weakness is, or where that comes in. Like, I've never clicked on a link being like, "I want to jack off to my friends."
Yeah,
that's not really. That sounds like a lifestyle choice, not a moment of weakness. But the whole deepfake thing is really strange because we've all been worried that it's going to come to the porn issue at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there are just websites out there that create, you can just deepfake anybody doing porn. That sounds very dangerous to me.
Well, the way it was prefaced in the tweet was like, I was very confused because like he got caught by his wife like watching porn or something. I was like, this doesn't seem that serious. And then I had to do some research on like what exactly he did and the website he was on. I was like, oh, this is very fucked up.
Yeah, that sounds fucked up.
I don't know who she is, but I stand with Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know. Yeah. Shout out to Pokemon.
Yeah, it's fucked up. If a guy that you thought was your friend was jacking off to you low key.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. Pokemon. all right. My hot seat is, I guess, how I shower because I shower in the morning. So Billy actually retweeted this onto his timeline. I saw it. It's a meme that says blue pill showering in the morning, red pill showering at night. And then it's people with common sense and it's a bunch of red pills. And I've always showered in the morning. I know that then it became like a whole issue that I was like not understanding like blue collar work. Of course, if you work manual labor and you like work hard with your, you know, body and you're sweating and stuff. Yeah. You'd shower at night and not shower in the morning.
Or just take two showers.
Or take two showers. But are any of you guys rolling into work not showered?
No, I shower in the morning.
I didn't shower today. I feel miserable.
Yeah. I shower in the morning, and then, I mean, podcasting is sweaty business. Sometimes I'll shower at night, but if I work out, then I shower
at night.
Of course. I don't sleep in my sweat.
No.
So I shower, I'd say, I shower 1.25 times a day, and the one time is always morning.
Yeah, and it's not like, of course, if you go to the gym, if it's like, you know, 90 degrees.
Haircut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of times that you would shower at night, but it's more like people who are not showering in the morning and walking into an office, what are you doing? Again, blue collar, totally understand. Why would you, like, if you have to get up at fucking 5 in the morning, there's no reason to shower and go work with your hands. But people working like a 9 to 5 in an office, not showering in the morning, that's fucking weird.
I think I would still shower if I was working up at like 5:45 and going to work on like carburetors. Because it wakes you up.
It does. It wakes you up. It makes you feel clean. It makes you feel fresh.
And then you have the coffee brewing while you're in the shower.
And then people were saying, they were shaming me, like, you're walking around and getting dirty all day and then getting into bed. Like, what do I do all day? Like, if I don't sweat, what am I doing? I don't.
What clothes are for.
Yeah, I don't go into my bed with my jeans on.
That's a good point, Hank.
Yeah.
Clothes. Wait, were you saying clothes as in, like, you're walking around, your clothes absorb all your dirt?
They block it.
Right.
I'd say they also absorb. They absorb the
dirt. But then
you
take off
your
clothes. And, like, I put on
multiple
new
layers. It's not getting through multiple layers.
So the routine is you go home, you go to bed, you take your clothes off. You're still wearing your underwear.
Yeah.
You get in bed, and then in the morning, you shower, and then you put on the new underwear.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was thinking about this. Sometimes I don't shower in the morning, but I wash my face and use a lot of deodorant.
Okay.
Yeah, but we that's can usually tell those after, mornings. Yeah.
Go off.
I usually that's usually after I work out late at night and I shower directly afterwards.
Yeah, so
okay, that makes sense.
I
it depends on how clean the sheets are too.
If I shower late at night, because sometimes I do shower late at night too, I won't shower the next morning.
I get that, but
sometimes I do just out of routine.
Yeah. I do that occasionally. So if it's a late night workout, you shower before bed, then you wake up in the morning, you might just do like a little dust and you get out. But mostly that's the only time that I'll ever not shower in the morning.
Also, you keep your AC or don't turn your heat on so you don't sweat.
I sweat every night I sleep, no matter what. So that's why I also shower. But it's weird. I guess I'm in the minority that people are not showering in the mornings.
I think it might have also been a troll.
I have 2,000 replies to the tweet.
Yeah.
Of people debating showering. And I don't know. Showering in the morning. Yeah.
It's actually
you gotta shower in the morning.
It's actually a perfect debate because everyone lives such different lifestyles.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is a dumb debate. It's like one of those ones like, how do you not eat this with this? It's like, well,
like we should start one like, do you eat? Is breakfast necessary? That would cause a stir.
Let's get that on. Yes, I'm team breakfast.
Yeah, I like breakfast,
but intermittent fasting breakfast takes up too much time in the morning.
You can have breakfast for dinner.
No, but just like eating when you wake up. Do you do that?
Are people going to be like heated about this?
I think it would fall right with showers.
I eat breakfast 50% of the time.
I think it's just weird to not shower in the morning because like it makes you fresh for the day. Like it wakes you up. It like you put on new clothes.
I'll say that if you have an office job and you work some semblance of 8 to 5, 9 to 6, somewhere in that range, and you don't shower in the morning before your office job, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. Now, that's what I'm, as far as other lifestyles.
Of course.
We don't know because we don't do
those.
Of course.
Blue collar, I totally get it. I would do the same thing. I wouldn't shower in the morning. I'd go work, and then I'd shower when I got home. But, I guess shower debates are... It was one of those ones, too, where I tweeted it right before we walked into the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, like, really look at it again. And then I looked at it again when we got back to the office. I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
People are really debating showering.
Yeah. I'm pro-shower.
Yeah.
Shower once or twice a day.
My cool throne is... Bubba Watson has joined the Live Tour. We knew that. Also, just shout out anyone who joins the Live Tour like after the first wave. It's a lot easier. But he said the reason why he joined the Live Tour is because, quote, my 10-year-old was sitting in the bed with me and we were watching golf on the TV and he knew the aces. Everybody knows the aces. They keep winning. He knew the aces. He knew the stingers. So he basically was like, because the team aspect and my kids can follow along easier. That's why I took like $100 million from the Saudis.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So I like it.
So he also said like my kid loves the Cowboys, the Yankees, and the Aces. So now we get to add the Aces to Hank's favorite teams.
Yes, you're an Aces guy.
Big time.
Put a future on the Aces.
You love the Aces.
Yeah. Done.
Always been an Aces guy. All right, Billy, your hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat, also Mr. Beast, also the other streamer, and showers.
Oh, okay.
All that, but last
you don't
one,
have to do
New
it.
York
don't
Times,
force it.
New York Times, because not only was I feature was did they feature a story I wrote. I was in the New York Times for the bone hunting things. New York Times, I shouldn't be in the New York Times as much.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
that's actually
what the fuck, dude.
Billy, I think that might be the smartest thing you've ever said.
Yeah. Kind of weird.
Billy football should never be featured in the New York Times.
Yeah, kind of was like, what the hell? My cool throne is the Dallas Zoo. Because there's been a string of break-ins in the Dallas Zoo, breaking out various animals, cloud leopard, emperor tamarin. Two monkeys were stolen, but they recovered the monkeys.
Oh,
so
nice.
Cool throw in Dallas Zoo because something was going on.
Leopard.
The cloud leopard?
The leopard escaped. They found it and put it back in, and then there was a vulture that got seriously injured, and then another monkey was also released but then found. But someone was literally breaking into the zoo and trying to steal animals.
That kind of rocks.
Yeah, it does.
If that's what the Joker is up to, then I love the Joker.
Unfortunately, it wasn't like a wildlife, like PETA type. It was like exotic animal smugglers trying to steal them.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, that doesn't rock.
But if it's just for the chaos aspect, if it's like Heath Ledger's Joker and what he's doing in Gotham is just like breaking in and opening up like the giraffe gate, that's fucking awesome.
That's like Goodnight Gorilla.
Yeah.
That children's book. OG Joker.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. OG Joker. All right, Jake.
My hot seat is Pro Bowl qualifications.
Yes.
Tyler Huntley, who threw 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year, is heading to the Pro Bowl.
this kind of bummed me out because
I understand there's injuries and Super Bowl exemptions, but there's got to be.
So what you're saying is the Ravens can afford to get rid of Lamar.
Yeah.
Because they've got a Pro Bowl quarterback
behind him.
It also is just so stupid that they have to send someone when they aren't even playing the real game this year, right?
Right.
I don't get it. Why do you need
Derek Carr and Trevor Lawrence were added as well, but injuries to Mahomes is exempt. Tua, Herbert, and Lamar were all ahead of him and all backed out. Yeah. So
I'm trying to think who else should have been ahead of him from the AFC.
Josh Allen and Burrow.
I mean, can he pick it?
Can he pick it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're always in the playoffs,
Mike White.
Yeah.
Mike White would have been a better choice than Tyler Huntley.
I agree.
I guess because the Ravens made the playoffs and he started and almost won that game.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. My cool thrones, first responders, specifically in New York City. It was officially announced earlier this week that Barstool Sports will be hosting and broadcasting the annual NYPD FDNY hockey game on Barstool.tv.
Hell yeah.
Who's going to be Saturday, who's doing the play-by-play?
April 15th. I'll be joining the Spit and Chicklets crew.
Oh, wow.
Nice. I'm very excited. So me and Biz in the booth.
Saturday what?
April 15th.
Oh, tax day.
So, is it?
Yeah.
April 15th.
Well, I guess this year it would be
Tuesday. The Monday, yeah. 17th.
So the way the schedule works is that time.
Do you not pay your taxes?
No, I do.
How'd you not know April 15th is
he
tax
probably,
day?
He probably pays right when he gets the form, right when his 1099 arrives.
I send my stuff to someone. Mm-hmm. They help.
Okay. Got it. Sounds like you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah. I do. I can send the form.
You know, somebody else who does.
To you guys.
Yep. You and Bosco.
So the way the schedule works out is that when this game's being broadcasted by us, Saturday, April 15th, it's at the time off in between the regular season and the postseason for the NHL. So we will be the only game on that
weekend. Oh, hell yes.
Nice. So there's no conflict of watching hockey and watching us.
Love
watching
it.
NHL. So, yeah. Barstool.tv. We'll have more information as it gets closer. But Saturday, April 15th, with a Spit and Chicklets.
FDNY versus
the
NYPD.
NYPD. This is going to be a sold-out UBS arena where the Islanders play.
Got to get your Irish names ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I feel like a lot of Ryans and Kevins playing in that game.
O'Sullivans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a great game. I'm
really
excited.
Might have to come. It seems like an awesome event.
Okay.
So can't wait for that.
Awesome.
Are they allowed to fight?
Yeah, apparently.
It's called rough and rowdy on ice.
Yeah.
Apparently it gets really heated.
I love it.
I'm really excited.
We're going to try and get the players to fight in the next rough and rowdy.
Oh, hell yes.
In theory, could the police team just arrest the firefighting team for trying to fight them?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whose side are you guys on?
Check out NYPD FDNY.
I hate fires and I love crime, so I think I'm.
What
FD,
about when fire is a crime?
Arson?
Yeah.
Arson. There's the overlap, and that's the verbal handshake.
Yeah.
Fuck. Who are you on, Hank?
I'm gonna roll with the FDNY. I think
I'm NYPD. 10 times out of 10.
We know. Yeah.
I'm related to
I think I gotta FD. I gotta go FDNY.
I just love the line in the part of the fucking firefighters, fucking pricks. Well, I have fire. I just say that to them all the
also,
time.
Also, I reserve the right to change once I figure out if there's a betting line on it and who I'm going to pick.
I'm going to take the over.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Let's get to the interview. Pete Weber, greatest bowler of all time.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, we now welcome on the man, the myth, the legend. Now, it is Pete Weber. He has over 100 titles to his name. Is that true? Over 100 titles to his name. 100. I'm going to set the stage real quick, Pete. I want to call you Mr. Weber because I have...
Please
you
don't.
Are a legend. All right. Should I call you Mr. Weber?
No.
Okay,
please
Pete.
Don't.
All right. We have been doing this show for 7 years now. We've interviewed a lot of people, a lot of different people from a lot of different sports. You have passed the test of I'm actually nervous to interview you because you are such a legend. I just want to say that to get ready.
Why am I such a legend?
Because you are a sport. It's like growing up, Pete Weber was bowling.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm still doing it.
You are still doing it.
Yeah, and I still thoroughly enjoy it, too. I still love the competition. I still love being out there, you know. So I just don't feel like I'm a legend yet, but I appreciate it.
No, you are. You're a legend.
I appreciate the
compliment.
You're
a legend. And I think that it would be a disservice not to just start right where everyone wants us to start. Let's just do it. Give us the whole all quote. Right. You say, who do you think you are? I am. What did you finish it with? Got it? Or something like
no,
that.
No, that was it.
Oh,
that
it's
was...
yes, goddammit, yes.
Yes, goddammit,
that is right.
Yes.
I did it. Number
who
five.
Who do you think you are? I am, yeah.
So get it right.
Where did you come up with who do you think you are? I am. Or did it just come out of you?
Well, actually, it just was kind of a missay because I was sitting there and I was thinking what I was going to say to the kid that was giving me trouble during the match. And it was like I wanted to say, who do you think you are with me in my house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just came out, who do you think you are? I am. And
that's the best part of the story that I think a lot of people don't know. That was directed to a 12-year-old kid.
Oh, well, yeah, 12, 13, 14, you know, I'm not real sure.
That makes it even better. Like so what was the kid was, like, heckling you during the game?
Well, he rooted out loud a couple times against me the second frame when I left the 10-pin. He just loud enough, yes, you know, that when I left the 10-pin. And, you know, I don't care if you root, but don't root loud enough for me to hear.
Yeah.
You know, because that just takes away from everything. But it pisses me off. So, you know, when I get mad, I let people know about it. And I've never held back.
Now, after you do the who do you think you are, I am, did you know that it was like an iconic moment in the moment? Or was it afterwards where people start sharing it? Or were you like, I'm Pete Weber, that was gold, what I just gave the people?
No, actually, I thought, God, what a stupid saying. And then it started showing up on, like, all on SportsCenter. Yep. And then all the halls of shame across the country.
No hall of shame.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't take it that way.
Yeah.
I figured, I did something good, and bowling is getting attention. And that's what we need, is we need attention. And who better to do it than me?
Yeah. It was iconic. And I also think that was it Ernie McCracken from Kingpin?
Yeah.
Bill Murray's character, he was loosely based after you, right? Did you watch that movie and you're like, yeah, this is pretty good?
Yeah, I've seen Kingpin, yes. But that came out before I started doing all my antics.
All their antics, so, the bad boy of
yeah,
bowling?
So.
Do you take pride in knowing that you were the bad boy of bowling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've always been a gracious winner, and I've always been a gracious loser. But there's a time to be bad, a time to be pissed off, and a time to get angry. And when people do that to me, then I'm not going to hold back.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. just not fair to me, and it's not fair to my opponents that people do that.
So let's start from the beginning. Pete Weber, the bowler. Your dad was obviously a famous bowler as well. At what age were you like, this is it. This is my career. I know that I'm going to be one of the best of all time at bowling.
Well, growing up, you know, I bowled with my brothers, I bowled with my sister, which everybody in my family except my mother had a 300 game.
Really?
So, you know, that's kind of cool to say. Her high game was 289. Oh. So, you know, 10 pin in the 11th shot, so she was very happy about that. But, you know, I turned 14 and I decided that I wanted to bowl men's league. And my dad gave me permission, signed the ABC consent form for me to bowl men's league. And the first game in men's league, I shot 300.
Really?
And then they proceeded to hand me $100. And I was like, back in 1976, $100 went a long way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, oh, wow, I can actually make some money at this. And then by the time I was 15 and 16 and went in some little regional tournaments and then local tournaments, it was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And dad always told me from about 14 on, he says, Pete, you're the best in the family. You're going to surpass me and be better than me. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry, but you're Dick Weber. I'll never be better than you. Even though I have more titles than him, I will never say that I'm better than him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your first 300? How old were you?
I was 12 years old.
Jesus.
I was bowling in adult junior league with my junior coach from Saturdays, and I shot 300, and he actually shot 299.
Oh!
Yeah, so,
it beat him by one pin?
Yeah.
And he shot maybe like one of the best games
of
his life.
Oh, yeah, he was a good bowler back then.
And he got
then,
beat by a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but hey, any given day, right?
Yeah. Wait, so how many 300s have you bowled in your life?
I could
can't
not
count,
tell you.
Can't count,
I know
so
it's probably over 120.
Jeez. Now,
maybe more than that.
Are they all built the same, or are some 300s better than others?
I have one 300 that really sticks out. I was in a PBA tournament in Detroit. On the left lane, I had five Brooklyns.
Which is?
Hitting the left side of the head pin for a right-hander.
Okay.
That would be hitting the Brooklyn side as going crossover.
Okay.
And then on the right lane, I had seven, 10 in the pit strikes.
Okay.
Normal strikes.
Yep.
But to get five Brooklyns on one lane and shoot 300, that's pretty lucky.
Now, is it more difficult to bowl if you're the last lane, like if the wall is next to you, or is it easier to bowl? Or maybe I'm just completely, maybe there's no difference whatsoever. I know that if you're a basketball player, a lot of times you prefer to shoot in a gym that has a wall right behind you because it helps with depth perception. Yeah. Is there any difference at all where you're at in a bowling alley in terms of which lane you're on?
No, not really. You do have to be careful sometimes because sometimes like lane one or the high-end lane, they have a drop-off.
Okay.
Like you have to step up to get on the approach. And sometimes when you're playing that deep on the lane, like if I'm playing like the sixth arrow on the left-hand side, I have to stand over there. So I have to protect myself from trying to fall off. So there are things that we have to protect ourselves about.
Gotcha.
I would rather have the solid wall there and no drop-off because I can deal with that more than I could deal with dropping off.
So bowling a 300, obviously since you've done it over 120 times, is there a point in a 300 game where you start to get a little nervous? You're like, oh, this looks like it could be a 300 game. Like, this is happening.
Well, everybody says the first one is the hardest one to throw.
Okay.
I totally disagree. I think the 10th one is.
Yeah, I would
because
imagine.
If you don't get the 10th one, then you have no chance.
Right.
Well, if you don't get any of them, you don't have no chance. But if you got the front nine, that 10th one is the most important.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the 10th one is the most important.
Is there a rule like in baseball you're not supposed to talk about a no-hitter? Are you supposed to talk about a 300 as it's in progress?
Oh, it's probably a myth, but I don't like to say anything about it, but it's always popping in my mind, especially when I got five or six in a row. It's like, hey, you can shoot 300 this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep throwing it good like you are.
And yeah.
So, yeah, there's a point in time.
And what about the tactical glasses? What made you start wearing those, and do you think that was a competitive advantage? I mean, you look like a badass. Like, I'm just saying, frankly, like, I see you with the tactical glasses. I'm like, it's on. It's Pete Weber time.
Well, there was one TV show I was bowling to where ESPN had a lot of lights at the time, and they shined the light right on the mark on the lane that I was looking at, and I couldn't see it because of the light. So I went to ESPN. I said, you have to adjust that light so I can see my mark. And they looked at me. No, we don't. Like, oh, okay. So forget about the bowlers and make sure you're all right.
Yeah.
So a guy, Eric Forkel, came up to me, handed me a pair of sunglasses. He said, try these. So I put them on, and I threw a couple shots, and I said, yeah, that works. I can see what I'm doing. And it just added to the bad boy image a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's why I kept wearing them.
Yeah.
What about growing up? You're raised in a bowling family. Bowling's around you all the time. It was something that you started to do at a young age. You took pretty seriously from a young age. Did you always love it? Or was it ever something that you do because your parents are doing it and they're bringing you along? And if so, like, did you have to learn how to love bowling?
Well, no, I've always loved bowling. Dick Weber being my dad, you know, it's kind of tough not to love bowling. My whole family loves bowling. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just curious. Like, if a lot of people, if their family is, you know, down in one line of business, sometimes after they do it for a while, they want to try something else. They want to move out. But it sounds like you just always loved bowling from the time that
yes,
you were a kid up until you grew up.
Yes, I did always love bowling. I mean, from the time I started at 4 years old when Dad let me start pushing the ball down the lane, I just thoroughly enjoyed it, you know, and growing up, it wasn't like I just bowled the whole time of my whole life. I played baseball, soccer. I'm not big enough to play football, but basketball and things like that. And, you know, but when bowling came on weekends, when I had baseball or tournament games and soccer or whatever, bowling came first. That was going to be my life. So yeah. That was going to be first. But it didn't take away from the other sports that I played, you know. So, and my dad, being the calm, cool, and collective man that he is, has been thrown out of most St. Louis area quarry leagues.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just the Weber hot streak, right? Have you been thrown out of a few of them?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet. I have grandkids, and they play baseball and softball and soccer, basketball, everything. But I haven't been thrown out yet.
Okay, okay. So the other part, I mean, you have a crazy story because you obviously had, in the 80s, you had a phase where maybe you were, you know, living the fast life, the bowling fast life, and you were able to kind of clean up. You went to rehab. You got, you know, got rid of the cocaine addiction. What was, when you were going through that, and you're still competitively bowling, like, were you able to compete at a high level even when you were partying?
Oh, yeah. You know, being young, you can do a lot of things when you're young. But once you start getting older, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up going, oh, God. When you're young, it doesn't matter when you wake up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got over it. I started doing what I needed to do, and everything's cool now.
Yeah.
I did read one story that you bowled, what was it, like a 260 after slamming Long Island iced teas all day? Is that true?
Yeah, there might have been. I think that might have been down in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Was slammed about 8 or 9 Long Island iced teas between squads. Came back and averaged 260.
That adds to the peak. I
went from like 21st to 6th. Missed the TV show by like 10 pins.
I mean, look, like, addiction's obviously not a joke, but it does, because you're a great story that was able to overcome it, like, it adds to Pete Weber bad boy allure that you had this, like, I think your dad, what did he say, was like a dark 8 years, and you came out better for it and won a bunch of titles after.
It was a bad part of my life that I wish I could change. But, you know, after everything was said and done, I came out and I did win, and I did make a living at what I wanted to do. And
yeah.
So I'm very happy with my career.
Who's your biggest rival?
Walter Ray Williams Jr.
And was it heated? Was it like you guys wouldn't talk after matches and stuff?
No, it's nothing like that. I mean, we're friends.
Yeah.
We've on the senior tour together, we've played golf together, we've had dinner together, so, you know, it's not a personal rivalry, it's a bowling rivalry that I'm like 0-5 or 0-6 at him.
Oh.
In title matches.
Oh no.
I've beat him on TV, but I've never beat him for a title, so that's why I say that's my bowling rival.
And does he still bowl? Can we maybe do a pay-per-view event? Pete Weber final redemption?
Oh, hey, bring it on.
I mean, we might have to do that.
It would be amazing if we could get Chris Berman involved to do the intro for it, because I remember I used to watch Sunday Countdown, and Chris Berman he'd be talking about the NFL games that were coming up, and then it would just cut off, and then the bowling would start on ESPN.
Yeah, I would love to have Chris Berman.
I'm sure he knows you.
I've watched him since this big, so you know, I would love to have him out there.
Is there a particular shot that you made over the course of your career that stands out from all the others? Like the most difficult shot, the most clutch bowl of your life?
Well, that would have to be the 5th U.S. Open when I struck on the fill ball to win by a pin. It's every bowler's dream to do that. Every bowler out there, and if they say it's not, they're lying.
So can you walk us through that? Because we are admittedly bowling novices. So walk us through what happened on that one.
Well, Michael Fagan ended up shooting 214, I think. So if I get the first one in the 10th, I automatically win.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw a great shot, running it out, ringing 10. So I got to make the spare and strike to win by a pin. Made the spare. And for some reason, you know, I was very, very calm when I threw that last shot to strike. I thought I'd be really nervous, but I was very, very calm. I didn't get, you know, overzealous about throwing the shot. Took my time, wound up throwing the strike, and all hell broke loose.
What goes through your mind during a game? Are you a kind of competitor that gets almost zenned out, where you just are focusing so deeply that you tune everything else out? Are you thinking about other things? Do you find yourself in the zone? What goes on inside your head during a competition?
Well, most of the guys that bowl on TV, they won't watch their opponent's bowl. I have to watch my opponent bowl. If I try to look away, I still wind up going like, you know, mm-hmm. out of the side of the eye or something, just to see what he does. But I've always watched my opponent. You know, I never think negatively. It's always like, all right, he gave you a shot. Take advantage of it. Get up there. Let's go. Make the best shot you know how. So, you know, it's all about making the best shot that you can. And it's, you know, some guys take a lot of time. I refuse to take a lot of time because I think the more I stand there and think about it, the more apt I am to going to throw a bad shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get up and I put my fingers in the ball, put my thumb in the ball, deep breath. As soon as that breath is out, I go.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I feel calm when I'm starting my approach. And that's just me. You know, other guys have different ways of doing things. But, you know, with me, it's just the less time I take, the better off I am.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been any, in your time in bowling, professional bowling, was there ever any cheating controversies? Was there ever anyone who was trying to do something illegal that got caught? I'm just fascinated, like, what would even cheating be like? The rules, I assume, have changed over the years. Has there anyone, you know, done anything where it's like, this guy, that, like, what is he doing here? He's greasing his ball too much or something? I don't even know what it would look like.
Well, it's hard to cheat in bowling.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you always have somebody watching.
Right,
so
right.
It's very hard to cheat. There used to be to where, you know, they would put barium in the finger holes and then cover them with wood putty.
Huh.
So, you know, then you got a little extra power in the bowling ball. But then the PBA came up with a metal detector.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So there's no metal in
it's
the
like
bowling ball.
The opposite of a corked bat.
Yeah.
Right.
Making it heavier. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that fascinates me, mm-hmm. what people were trying to do to, well, like, skirt the laws.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, we have a hardness rule. It's 75 degrees hardness. Don't ask me
what. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Is that?
I have no idea. I'm not that technical.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that the ball or is that the lane?
That's the ball.
Okay.
The ball
okay.
had the outside of the ball, I guess, has to be 75 hardness.
Okay.
I don't know, but when the ball heats up and gets warm, it loses some of that. It'll go down in softness, like to 74, 73.
So this is like Deflategate.
Yeah, football. And sometimes. Back when we were checking bowling balls a lot more than we do now, there were some guys told, do not use that ball. It's too soft.
Interesting.
And then they used it anyway.
Wow.
And got caught and got disqualified. So
that's,
you
those,
know, it's
yeah.
just, it's like I said, it's really hard to cheat in bowling.
What about PEDs? Have there ever been any PED accusations?
No.
Steroids?
Steroids, Adderall maybe for focus?
Well, I'm sure there have been.
Yeah.
Did they drug test?
No.
What about innovation in bowling? Has there been, in your time, someone who showed... Isn't there the guy from Australia who does a weird...
Jason Belmonte?
Yeah, he does a weird spin. So when that comes out, is everyone looking at it like, what the hell's going on here? How is this guy doing this?
Yeah, kind of at first, yeah.
So what did he do exactly? Can you explain it?
Well, he uses only two fingers.
Okay.
He puts his hand on top of the ball, in which... If you ever watch him, he dries his left hand
okay.
more than he dries his right hand.
Interesting.
To make sure that the ball doesn't slip on his left hand.
Right.
So when I got to kind of stand up.
That's yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, show us.
So when he goes through his approach, but there's kind of a little hop in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually does that. I can't do it. I've tried, but I just can't do it. But he generates so much rotation and power on the bowling ball that, well, you know, when they first started seeing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were like, wow. You know, when they first started watching me, they said, well, or Marshall Holman or Mark Roth, wow, those are power players, man. They get a lot of revs on the ball, and boy, I want to be like that. Well, now kids today want to be like Jason Belmonte and Oscar Palermo, Anthony Simonson, the two-handers, because of how hard their bowling ball hits the pins now.
Right.
And lane conditions are really not that much of a factor for them anymore.
Right.
You know, because they can always just change bowling balls.
Right.
And go to either a more aggressive bowling ball or a less aggressive bowling ball. It's just a matter of what they feel, but... I mean, I know there's a team in Colombia, the Colombia national team, I believe, is all two-handed.
Really?
They are all two-handed bowlers.
Huh.
Interesting.
And, you know, the more I've traveled, you know, when Jason Belmonte first came out on the tour with his two hands, the more I traveled around the world, like to Europe and Asia and places like that, I found more and more two-handers that want to do that. Or that the one-handers, what do you want to learn? More power. Well, gosh, I mean, come on, you already got 550 revs on the ball already. I can't teach you how to get more.
Right.
Yeah.
Besides taking your thumb out and going to two hands.
Right.
So that's the only way I can think of to make you get more power on the ball.
Huh. So it sounds like they measure things like spin rate. It's like in baseball, if you measure everything, then you can figure out what you can improve on. What about the lanes? Have the lanes changed over the years?
Well, we've gone from wood lanes to astro lane to synthetic lanes to plastic lanes now. And, you know, it just seems that the plastic lanes and synthetic lanes hold up a lot better. You don't have to resurface them as much as, say, the wood lanes, because the wood lanes was probably once a year you'd have to resurface them to make them even again.
Yeah.
To level it out to where these new ones, the new plastic ones, are more level all the time, so they don't need resurfacing as many times.
So
they last a lot longer.
Would you say it was harder to bowl back in the day than it is now because the lanes have changed? I'm trying to figure out if we can get like a competition against the eras going. How we say, like, in the 1980s, the NBA was tougher than it is nowadays. It sounds like back in the day, the lanes might have been a little more uneven.
Well, no, they weren't uneven. It just, you know, some houses, left-handers have the advantage. Some houses, the right-handers have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the house. It depends on the condition that they put down. There are so many things that are the technical part of bowling that I stay away from.
Yeah.
I am one of them bowlers that I throw the ball, I watch it. If I don't like what I see, then I'll change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your favorite alley in the entire U.S.?
Where they're having the U.S. Open this week, Woodland Bowl in Indianapolis.
Okay, that's just like pristine.
The Mecca. I've won three major titles in there. I've won like four or five different regionals in that house. So, you know, it's kind of...
That's the place. Yeah, that has, holds the spot in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about who's the GOAT? Who's the best bowler of all time?
That's really hard to say.
You.
Is it you?
Are you in the conversation?
Well, I can be, yeah.
Well, you're my GOAT.
But thank you. I appreciate it.
I was
going to
say your dad's my GOAT.
But, you know, to me, my dad is the best ever.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, like Walter Ray has 47 titles.
And how many do you have?
I have 37.
Okay.
I'm fourth on the list.
Okay.
It goes Walter, Earl Anthony, Norm Duke, and then myself.
These are just great bowling names.
Norm Duke, I remember. Norm Duke was all over ESPN, too, growing up.
Yeah. Norm's a great guy.
Yeah. He's
one of my best friends out there. And, you know, when I bowled him, it was on.
Yeah.
I mean, we had matches. We never got violent with each other, but, you know, we would always 250, 260 against each other. Even if it was a low-scoring game, it was 2-0 to 2-teen. It was always exciting to bowl Norm.
Yeah. Would you find that when you're bowling against a good opponent and he's rolling really well, that it makes you step your game up more so than if you're going against somebody that might be having an off day?
Well, yeah. The people, you know, they always want to beat me. They always want to beat Walter. I always want to beat Walter. I always want to beat Norm. I always wanted to beat Dad, which my record with my dad in the PBA is 29 wins, one loss.
Wow.
Ooh.
So,
well, say he's better than you.
Tell me about that.
Absolutely.
Tell me about that one loss. You let him win?
No, I didn't let him win. It was actually in Japan.
Okay.
I needed two strikes in the 10th frame. Got the first one. I left the 8-10 on the second one, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah.
Because I just don't leave 8-10s like that.
Yeah.
And
you don't.
And it wound up Dad winning.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the one win that he shouldn't have got.
Was he just in your face about it afterwards? Was he celebrating, or was he very gracious that he found out?
Oh, no. Dad was always very gracious. He never got in anybody's face or let them know about it. He was always very gracious.
It must be nice, though, to beat your son, to get that one win against your son, though. Just remind yourself he still got it.
Yeah.
He probably should have two, but the one time he needed a strike, actually, he did throw the strike, and the 8-pin hit the ball and stood back up on
no
the lane.
No way.
Yeah. And that was in St. Louis in front of my mother.
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh.
Did they have review, like replay, instant replay in bowling? Like that pin was down by contact.
No.
If it pops back up, it counts?
If it pops back up, it
counts. What about how many 7-10 splits have you hit?
I think I've made 5.
And that's the hardest shot in bowling. Well, no, it's no
just
question.
Luck.
Yeah.
Well,
it's really? Luck. It's not skill?
There's no set way to pick it. You just throw it one pin and hope it bounces out and hits the other one.
That's got to be an incredible feeling, too, when you hit
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes. You know, the first one I made was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
You that's, know? I mean, yeah. So, and but, you know, now it's like I made 2 last year, and it was fun. You know, it's just a fun split to pick, even though you get lucky doing it. It's
yeah.
just, you know, the fans get excited, the bowlers get excited, you get excited. So, you know, it's always a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about international bowling. You mentioned Colombian people. They're a national team. They do the two-handed thing. What other countries in the world are significant, like, bowling competitors to the United States?
Oh, just about every country. I mean, they have the Pan Am Games over in Asia, where all Asia, the U.S. goes. There's countries all over the world that go to, like, the Pan Am Games.
Are there different styles of bowling in different countries? Like certain teams known for more power?
Well, everybody's got their own style.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
so everybody
finesse.
Has.
I'm thinking like in soccer, you know, you can point at Spain and be like, oh, they do the short passes. You can point at the United States and be like, oh, they love to lose in the first round, that sort of thing. But like when it comes to bowling, is there like, are there certain cultures that are associated with completely different styles of bowling from others?
Not that I know of. I mean, everybody's got to kind of do it the same way.
Yeah.
I know Korea, they're very disciplined when it comes to bowling.
Yeah.
The coach is very disciplined. He makes the bowlers do what he wants them to do. Malaysia, I guess, might be the best country because I know a girl there, Shaolin Zulkifli, who has won gold medals in these games before. She has her own posters, billboards in Malaysia.
That's awesome.
When she got back from the games, she was mobbed by the press, by the public, for autographs, pictures, interview. Actually makes pretty good money for winning gold medals. You win a medal in a different country,
mm-hmm.
You get paid pretty good from your country.
That's awesome.
Now, I can't say that the U.S. pays all that well, but I've never been to one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So you also are a scratch golfer, is that right?
Well, I used to be.
So being an incredible bowler and scratch golfer, that's got to be like the best combo of sports that you can dominate after like the age of 30. I would imagine like in your 20s, maybe it's not as cool, but you just like – You've hit hole-in-ones, right? Like
yes, I have.
I mean, that's incredible. Scratch golfer is an insane thing to be, and you also were one of the best bowlers of all, my personal opinion, the best bowler of all time. What? How, like, would you golf all the time when you weren't bowling?
Oh, absolutely. I was that much into it that, you know, that every time that I got breaks or even out on tour, I mean, there were a bunch of guys that, hey, let's go play golf.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm in. And even on the senior tour now, I mean, after we bowl like an A squad and we have the rest of the afternoon on, there might be 8, 10, 12, 16 of us go play golf.
You're the Bo Jackson of bowling and golf.
Nah,
no, I think so. I think so.
I was going to say, it sounds like those two sports are the best ones that you can possibly be to hustle people at.
Yeah.
Where you can just take
their
money.
It's a lot of similarities, too. It's good eye-hand coordination. It's rhythm. It's timing. It's... You know, it's the same thing.
I was going to say,
a different swing.
Yeah. Also, like probably the two sports you need the most mental toughness in terms of you can't make, you know what I mean? You can't make one mistake in either of the sports, and you have to be next shot has to be better than the last shot.
In bowling, you throw a good shot, you can still get a bad break.
Right.
In golf, you hit a good shot, you're going to be rewarded for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In golf, you see what's in front of you. And bowling, you don't until you actually throw the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities, and it's just that I loved being on the golf course because I spent so much time inside.
Right.
That I loved being outside.
What about on the tour? What about groupies? Are there fans like waiting in hotels and stuff? You know, just here comes Pete Weber.
Well, it's never happened to me.
Okay. Okay.
I can't say if there. I'm probably sure there is.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's a lot of like fans at the events.
I mean, it's never happened to me.
Okay. No. All right. Hands up. Yeah.
Maybe,
I got you.
Maybe
I got
Malaysia.
Yeah.
Might happen over there.
No. No Pete Weber groupies.
No.
There should have been.
Well, I'd imagine, like, there's a lot of just, like, fat dudes with mustaches that you're their hero.
You never know.
You got that for groupies.
Never know. What about one of my best friends in Japan? They call him my stalker.
Oh.
This goes back to 93. I was bowling, and every time I turn around, this man is standing there.
Smiling at me.
And I'm like, oh, God. You know, what I do now? And it was like after every game, he would move pairs with me and just watch me bowl. And after the round was over, I was sitting at the bar having a beer. And I turned around, and there he was. So I called him over. I said, you want a beer? He said, yes. And we've been friends ever since.
No way.
In fact, the Storm High Sports over in Japan hires him when I go over there. They hire him to pick me up at the airport, take me to the hotel. He stays with me at the hotel, drives me to my appearances the next day. Everybody over there knows who he is. All my bowling friends knows who he is. So he's very welcomed
That's
with
a
everybody.
Great story.
It's great, How about you know, that? To you know to think you have a stalker behind you, and then now he's one of your best friends when you go to Japan.
Yeah,
stalking pays off.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's it. Dream kid. So where are you at now with bowling? So you're officially retired from the PBA, right?
I'm officially retired from the regular tour.
Okay,
I still am a PBA member. I still bowl full-time on the PBA Senior Tour. I do bowl some of the, like, if I would have got invited to the U.S. Open, like I should have been.
Oh, I like this.
I would have bowled the U.S. Open.
Why didn't they invite you?
I have no idea.
I'm going to make a stink out of this for you.
Who's in charge of passing out the invites?
That I don't know either.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Is it the PBA?
No, the PBA has nothing to do with it. This is totally the United States Bowling Congress.
So okay, do you think there's someone Congress. Who's like Pete Weber's too
oh,
much
Oh, I know
of a,
there is. I oh. know there's a couple.
Oh, they're
they
like...
just don't like me.
He's too
and
much of a bad boy.
I don't like
boy.
Them either, and I don't really care if they know or not.
I love
you know,
this.
I don't like them either now.
I like the fire. But I hate them. I hate their guts.
Well, you know, a five-time Open champion, 43 years a PBA member... PBA, USBC Hall of Famer. Father, family grew up in Indianapolis. Three major titles, including a U.S. Open at Woodland Bowl. And I don't get an invite?
It's disgusting.
I think that's just an insult.
It is.
It's like when Major League Eating banned Kobayashi from competing in the hot dog eating contest. Like this is... You're synonymous with bowling in America, and you don't get invited.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, they've made some
the
powerful
other thing
enemies.
That gets me too is that it's an 80-lane bowling center, and they only have 108 bowlers bowling in the tournament.
They got
36
room.
People per squad.
That's a slap in your face.
Not to say anything against Mookie Betts,
okay.
who I have bowled with, and I respect, and I have the greatest utmost respect for him. But he gets put into the tournament without having to qualify for it. Junior bowlers from Junior Team USA are automatically seated in the tournament. Don't have to bowl the PTQ. That's a bigger slap in my face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, I understand from their perspective why maybe Mookie Betts, he's going to draw some eyes.
But
he's
so is Pete Weber.
But that's the thing. Yeah. It's like Pete Weber is bowling Pete Weber. If you want people to pay attention to your tournament, you will invite him. So
whether they... don't like me or not, I still draw people in.
You do.
That's a fact.
And I still draw people for pro-ams.
Have you competed in that tournament in the past?
Yeah. This is the first year that I haven't.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
This is now my new crusade.
I'm on the warpath.
I'm happy that this happened today because now I have something to wake up in the morning.
I asked about it. They said, based on my criteria.
What the fuck does that mean?
criteria being a champion?
I don't know what that means, but I would have to bowl the PTQ or ask for an exemption.
Like they,
so I mean, that, to me, is a double insult.
Yeah.
That I have to ask for an exemption into a tournament that I've won five times.
I'm grudging hard for you.
Yeah.
I know the commissioner is grudging hard, too.
Okay, against you?
No, for me.
For you. Okay, yeah. So he's on our side, so we got to find the other people. All right, we're on this.
United States Bowling Congress.
We're going to fight for you. This is like saying like Tiger Woods can't play in the Masters. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, they invite him. It's his choice not to bowl.
Right.
Or not to play golf.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of injuries or
right.
What have you.
Right.
It's his choice.
Right.
But at least he's always given invited. The option.
Yes. Yes. Former champions always get the invite. That should be how it always is.
That's what I feel, too.
So are you bowling in, like, regular leagues as well? Because that would be fun. Do you, like...
Yeah, I do. I bowl on Monday nights with my best friends and his two kids that I've known since they were 4 and 6 years old.
And do you dominate?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Oh. That's great.
You know, they all know how to bowl.
Yeah.
And they all, you know, 190 to 210.
That's
average.
Cute.
So that, you know, they're respectable.
But come on.
But we have fun, you know. It's I thought when I first started bowling the league that the other guys in the league would have a problem. But I wound up knowing a lot of them, so nobody really had a problem. And it's actually a really fun league to bowl in.
That's awesome.
You know, when it comes down to the 10th frame and I need a strike, yeah, I try.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the frames before, I just put my hand in the ball and go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just there to have fun.
Right, yeah.
And then I bowl a little more competitive league on Wednesday nights to where it pays a lot better. You're paying more for your league, but it pays better, and you know it's just more competitive. So I kind of
you dominate that too.
No.
Oh.
No.
Interesting.
Oh no.
Really? There's some good bowlers that are going up against.
Well, house bowlers.
Yeah.
It's a house that I really didn't grow up bowling in. I only bowled a few times, and I really haven't had very much success there either.
Interesting.
My first two nights of the Wednesday night league, I had like 595 and 598.
Okay.
For my three games of the league.
Yeah.
And then I started bringing some other stuff in, and now I was actually getting 25 pins a handicap.
Oh,
so
okay.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah.
But now I'm down to like 2, I think. I've got my average back up to where I'm down to like getting only 2 pins per game, and I'm trying to get that down to 0.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah,
have you ever shown up to a bowling alley and just absolutely hustled somebody that doesn't know who you are?
No,
no one's ever. Does that happen at bowling alleys? Like it happens sometimes. I don't know, at a golf course or driving range to see who can hit the ball the furthest. Has anybody ever like just asked you, "Hey, you want to put some money on this next game?"
Well, you know, I've had people ask me to bowl for $10,000 a game. But it's, to me, that's like, I've got nothing to prove.
Yeah.
And if they beat me, then they're a legend killer.
True.
So it's kind of a no-win situation for
right.
me.
Yeah.
Guys used to come in to my dad's bowling center at home when I was like 13, 14. And they'd say, hey, anybody bowl action? Dad would always, well, what do you want to bowl for? Well, we're not bowling you. He said, no, you ain't going to bowl me. But how much you want to bowl for? And it's at 25. And he says, all right, see that kid down there, which was me. See that kid down there, he'll bowl you. And if he wins, you have to pay me and buy him a soda.
Oh, hell yes.
Well, they always wound up paying Dad. And always wound up buying me sodas. So,
that's awesome. Oh, man. All right, so I have one last question. This has been just so much fun.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I just want you to say it again. I want you to say the quote again. That's really not a question. It's just, it's so iconic.
You want the quote again?
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yes.
And don't forget it.
Yes. I mean, it's just the best. Every time I watch that clip,
yeah,
I get a smile on my face.
I do these things. I don't know if you heard of them. They're called cameos.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cameos. Well, I do them. And just about everyone I do is... Can you do your quote, please?
Yes, it's iconic.
So, and I have no problem doing it.
And I love your other quote. I think you said maybe a few years ago, where you're like, love me or hate me, you still watched. And
that's love just me or hate me, you're going to watch just to see what I do.
That's the best. That's the true mark of a bad boy, when it's like, you might despise me, but you ain't turning the channel.
Yeah. How many people do you know that are going to change the channel just because they don't like somebody, but they want to see what they're going to do?
Yeah.
Plenty.
Yes.
Like back in tennis, John McEnroe. Sure. I hated watching tennis.
Yeah.
But when he was on, I watched because I'd like to see what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Has he ever reached out to you, or have you ever met him?
No.
I imagine you guys would have a lot to talk about.
No.
Because he is the Pete Weber of tennis.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I've never met him. I played golf on a celebrity golf tour for a little while, you know, and I got to meet some pretty neat people. Dwight Clark.
Nice.
You know, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Ooh, yeah.
Johnny Bench. You know, yeah, I've met some pretty neat people. But Sunday had to be the best after Kansas City won the game. First thing Patrick Mahomes did was put a picture of me up in my quote.
Yes.
In his tweet.
Yes.
That was incredible.
That was one of the biggest honors I've ever had.
That is
for him to do that.
I should have bad job by us. Should have brought it up right away. That was
and we've reached out to him to see, you know, if maybe we can meet or something.
Maybe bowl sometime. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Maybe bowl sometime.
Are you a Chiefs fan?
It's Missouri. Come on.
Yeah, okay. So
I'm from St. Louis.
Yeah, so you are a Chiefs
fan. I used to be a Rams fan until they left.
Okay.
And then as soon as they left, I became a Kansas City fan.
Pretty good run you guys have had right now.
I'd say you upgraded a little bit. You went from rooting for Chris Long to rooting for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Great job.
That's an upgrade. Major huge, upgrade.
Big upgrade.
Yeah. Big, huge upgrade. Huge. All right. Well, Pete, this has been so much fun. And now we're going to go watch some bowling, and hopefully you're going to bowl a little.
I very well could be.
Okay, okay. All right.
Maybe throw a shot or two for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be
And by the way, what's this hot dog eating thing?
Oh, you want a hot dog?
Yeah, we have a lot of hot dogs. So
I could probably use it.
Yeah,
there we go.
You look like you're in lean shape.
You get 10 pins added onto your score?
No, you get it subtract from your score if you eat every hot dog.
Well, it's kind of the same.
So you go from 300, eat a hot dog, to 290.
Now you only have to
So the one guy I heard is eating like 14 hot dogs, so he's down to 160.
And he still can't get out of here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So we need
your help.
We need your magic.
Yes.
That's not good.
But thank you so much, Pete. You are a legend, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Pete. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
Yes.
Excellent.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh, Jake's going to the bathroom right when we start talking about bowling.
He's good. He waved it off.
Just pee.
Number one.
But we're about to start about bowling.
He might not actually be peeing.
All right, so what should we say about Jake while he's out? So the bowling challenge. We did it today. Shout out everyone who watched. It was incredible. We had like 28,000 people watching all at once concurrently. A lot of people said it was a great way to pass the time during the day. We were in the alley for 8 hours. I actually thought it was like pretty, you know, fun and interesting. I there was a moment last night before we started where I was like, ooh, is this going to be good? I thought it was pretty funny.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. The bonus dogs, the lightning rounds.
Oh, Billy was too so if you haven't watched it, you can go back and watch it. But
there will also be a PMTV recapping everything
awesome
on Thursday night.
We did some fun wrinkles. We had a bonus round where Max and Jake ate hot dogs without using their hands, no buns.
Billy said that he wasn't going to do it.
I didn't want
a
Mickey
straight.
Mouse win. I didn't want a Mickey Mouse win.
Oh, okay. Let's
I'm glad
talk
that
about
you brought that up, Billy.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I don't want a Mickey Mouse
win. So you won all on your own today?
With the stipulations put ahead of us.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like eating a hot dog without
Mickey Mouse
your hands.
Yeah.
You used Pete Weber.
Which was a stipulation that was brought up.
And Max is a man. And Max, that was an all-time alpha move to be like, no, Pete Weber. How many hot dogs did you end up eating, Max?
I had 17 hot dogs.
Oh, my
God. How did you have 17 hot dogs?
Because I lost
to
Jake. Oh, yeah.
And he's a man.
Yeah, we did a head-to-head during the middle of it where Jake and Max went head-to-head to see who, if the loser had to get minus 10 or plus 10 pins on their score. And the loser got minus 10, or the winner got minus 10.
Now,
it was great.
And now hang on a second here, Big Cat. Billy, what was your winning score that you rolled?
The one that I won?
Yeah.
A 136.
And how many hot dogs did you eat?
I ate 17 hot dogs, but one of them was to negate the loss to Stu Finer, and then I ate one thinking it would be given to Jake after the fact.
But you ate 17 hot dogs.
Yes.
Jake, how many did you have?
I had 19 on my own.
Oh, my
okay, so,
God.
But
so,
I will
so,
say five
so
were without the bun, thanks
right,
to
no,
the lightning
no,
round.
No, that's fine, but correct me if I'm wrong here. Billy had the lowest bowling total and the lowest amount of hot dogs eaten today.
I ate three for him, remember?
Remember we got three in the beginning?
Yeah. I didn't eat three for him. But even
no,
still.
No, 19 is on my own.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Jake ate more hot dogs than you and bowled and hit more pins down than you did.
And didn't use Pete Weber.
Is that true? I'm just questioning. I don't know.
I
haven't crunched the numbers
into this,
yet.
I was figuring out how am I going to get out of this as the last person to get added to this on a coin toss. Didn't do any preparation.
Mm-hmm.
I won the system. I beat the system. I don't care.
Okay.
I did my time. Got in, got out.
Right, so,
Billy beat the system.
That's a win.
It was very fun to watch. Max, I want to hear your thoughts. Then we'll get to Jake, who kind of won it all because he was the big loser and he was the last man standing. Max, how are you feeling?
I'm in a world of pain right now. Like,
Max
really,
still hasn't gone
really
to the bathroom.
I'm worried about that. I'm worried. I haven't taken a shit yet.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I have like it is starting to hit me during this recording. I have like started the fart. I don't know if Hank has smelled them because they've been very bad. And, like I was doing all right at the end of it. I even was about to eat an additional hot dog for Jake, but right now, like it's all starting to hit.
And how many did you eat again?
17.
And you were eating a lot with condiments like onions.
Well, sometimes the
sauerkraut was essential.
Well,
for probiotics.
Smell. We were doing dirty water dogs, and like if you know, like they can get the smell of the dirty water dog can get to you after a while, like. And you just taste – every bite that you take, you just start to taste that water. And I needed to mask that. I needed to like – I needed some sort of – I needed the mustard to kind of – I needed to taste something else other than the dirty water.
I get that.
Because it was making me really sick.
I get that. Now, how are you feeling like from your arm, from the bowling? Because I think of anybody here that bowled today, you were going – you were bowling like as hard as you possibly could – on every bowl, you've got one speed,
and you're describe the sound you make after you let go of the ball.
Oh, Max's facial. He was crying at one point, like literally crying. The facial expressions, the grunts.
There's a great.
He let go, and he goes.
Yeah. There's a great moment. Was that your thumb popping out of the bowl?
No,
or was that your mouth?
He was making the sound.
This is the first I'm hearing of this sound. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I made sure to take the camera and get video. What is this? What is going on?
Would you like to say anything about the tears?
The tears weren't real tears. That's fake
no,
news.
No. There were
that
satire.
Was just also
dirty water tears.
I've just been going through stages of like being really bad with the hot dogs and not having any issues at all because we did. First thing I did was just eat five hot dogs as fast as I could. And I don't think that was a good idea because it was 10 o'clock in the morning and five hot dogs as soon as you wake up – or not as soon as you wake up, but five hot dogs before 11 a.m. is probably not great for your stomach. So when we were doing the lightning round, I thought for sure I was going to puke.
The lightning round was so fucking funny. You guys just not using your hands, trying to slurp up raw dogs – God damn
it. Saved me.
Yeah.
It was a great lightning round.
I've got the sound effect here from Max. Oh, God. I don't know if this is your thumb or your mouth or what it is.
God! Well, that one... that one actually was from my thumb.
That was your thumb popping
Yeah,
out?
That was my... Because you can hear it because that... I think that was like in a... Actually, no. Everyone throw. Felt... every throw felt integral in whatever.
Yeah.
And sure. That one, it did get stuck in my thumb and it was a straight gutter and I don't know.
It hurt, yeah. And now, Jake, you ended up with a 188 was your high score to get yourself out of it. You bowled the longest. How are you feeling? You also had, there was multiple times where you Lamar Jackson'd it where you just, you were like mid-bowl. Yeah. You're like, gotta go. And just grabbed the wipes and ran to the bathroom.
Also, can you explain to the people what you came prepared with to the bowling
alley? Yeah. My whole list. I tweeted it out.
Well, Jake's also doing this podcast with a heating pad.
Yeah, this is ice.
Yeah, he looks like a pitcher who's ready to go back in for a couple more innings. He's mid-inning.
You look like Ben Roethlisberger on a practice field right now.
Bowling, personal bowling ball. Shout out to Bolero for providing each of those.
Yeah, shout out Bolero for the whole thing.
Yeah, they're
awesome,
a great host.
Awesome,
this is awesome.
Sponsor.
I'll definitely be going back there and using
the other food there. Besides, hot dogs were good, but the other food was fantastic.
Yeah, their food and beverage director is awesome.
Yeah. Barstool Bowl. Through February, 15% off your reservation.
Love it.
Yeah. Bowling ball. The wrist guard was great because my wrist does not hurt at all.
There you go.
So I'll take that. The rosin bag helped too.
Yep.
It sticks inside. It's supposed to stick inside the holes. And
nice.
Yeah, I never slipped out.
Okay, nice.
The bowling towel, I didn't really
never
use.
Slipped out?
Never once
not
slipped
even
out.
Welcome, Jake.
Not even like towards the end?
Get him on the bonk list. No. He stuck it inside the hole and it never slipped
never
out.
Yeah. Not even when you were like changing up your position on the lane?
Never slipped out.
Water. I drank.
Did it ever come close to slipping out and you're like, oh, did I just break it?
No.
But you put it back in.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
I probably drank like 9 or 10 bottles of water.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Ice pack, heating pad, part of my cheesesteak jumpsuit. Change of clothes that I did not need.
Again. What were those for?
In case I...
An accident?
Yeah.
He was thinking he was going to shit himself.
Okay. And you and my son are the exact same people.
If I sweat too much.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Biofreeze, which helped a lot. Got on both shoulders.
Yeah, why were you putting the biofreeze on your non-bowling shoulder? I didn't understand that one.
Because this is where my torn labrum is. Uh-huh. So it still hurts sometimes when I do physical activity.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then wipes. Wipes were handy.
Dude, wipes. And Listerine.
Yes, mouthwash helped a lot. Max used that too because it changes your palate. Like you feel like a fresh start.
Yeah.
It tastes like hot dog.
The mouthwash was great. Because what I was saying about I couldn't get that dirty water taste out of my mouth and the mouthwash helped.
You just have a minty taste and it was a good mental reset. But yeah, crazy.
What did you bring the wipes for?
Bathroom.
Oh, okay. They had toilet paper there.
Yeah. The whole thing was fantastic. I was proud of you, Jake.
Thank you,
proud of you, Max, Billy, Mickey Mouse, but whatever. That's fine.
No, I'm honestly not ashamed of what I did, 100%.
Good.
It was Mickey Mouse's fuck.
Yeah, yeah. And you didn't. And you're too straight to eat hot dogs without a bun.
You beat the system.
You guys wanted to watch other grown men do that, so.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. And the comments loved it.
Billy's like, hey, yo.
Hey, pause.
What?
You eating a dog? You drinking with a straw over there?
That's sus.
Bowling? I also, like, at one point, I came back, like,
you put your fingers into balls over there?
And Billy,
what?
We were like,
the ice cream cone?
We have all the Coors Lights. If you drink Coors Light, it's a pin off. And he was like, no, I'm only doing it if it's 5 pins or 10 pins per beer. And then I came back 30 minutes later, and he was just drinking a beer. Like he was like, all right, I'll do some beers.
Yeah, no, I think that was a good call. Loosened you up a little bit.
It actually did. I was getting frustrated. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to chill out with a nice ice-cold Coors Light.
Yeah,
and it worked.
There was a moment where we saw Billy getting into a state that we've seen plenty of times when he gets himself into a mess, but then the mess becomes our fault for him being there.
Yep.
And then he starts to turn on us, and he just starts to get annoyed at everything. We saw it coming. And the ice cold Coors Light chilled you out.
There's also some like happy like get into your hole like when the pins just weren't going down.
Yeah. He's no, Billy.
That's supposed to go down.
I loved Billy like the way he bowls. He just rolls it as hard as he can every time. He's like, why aren't they going down?
Mm-hmm.
Angry.
Yeah, I understand some people were mad that we were punting games, but it was the right strategy.
Yeah, I mean you had to bowl for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Jake, before we did this, you were breaking it down logically. And you were thinking to yourself, this might not even be possible to do in one day.
Right. No, if it wasn't a one-day thing, like I was going to punt the whole first day.
Oh, my God.
That would have been bad. Yeah. I would have hated that.
I would have been very upset at you.
Yeah.
Very upset.
Because originally, right, we had the idea of doing this for as long as possible.
But it felt like the perfect time, and now we were.
And I didn't think Jake was going to finish.
Yeah.
That was probably like 4:30. I was like, oh, man. Like, yeah. And being in your – if I was in your shoes, it just felt like – you were close a couple times, and I was like, this could be a situation where it feels like we're close, but we're going to be here till 8.
Yeah, it all worked out.
But that 188 was a fantastic game.
I will say, bowling a turkey, the feeling of that is the equivalent of hitting like a 50-foot putt.
Yeah, no, you finished with four straight strikes. It was electric, and yeah, the hot dogs worked out perfectly. Next year, I think we're going to do you got to hit a hole-in-one.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know about that.
That would be so funny.
Yeah.
If we just had a fucking course and like a nice little. Like
I actually don't think that would take that long either.
Oh, it would take forever.
It would take a long time.
Some of us don't even golf.
Yeah.
On like a 180-yard hole?
Yeah, it would take so long. Hey.
Can you keep every ball?
No, not 180 yards. Like, it would be like a pitch and putt.
But yeah, still, it would probably be like 100.
Can you keep balls on the green where another ball can knock it in?
I vote yes. I think yes.
Yeah,
I
mean, we have ourselves into this. Yeah.
We have a year to figure this out.
Yeah, but that was thrown around. I think that would be fun.
I like
PFT's
that.
PFT's going to buy me $400 worth of Arizona themed swag from a bet we made a 1-on-1 match we had.
We did. Yeah. I mean, I do have a ruptured UCL, much like Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, you beat me. I guess
the handicap guy.
Good job.
Yeah.
The other idea of flying to this next Super Bowl eastward.
Yeah.
With at least 3 connecting flights, that sounds pretty sick.
What about having to take nothing but Uber pools or like shared lifts for a month?
Or just to the Super Bowl.
Uber pooling to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's a big honor system, PFT.
Oh, man.
No, because you can check your history.
Yeah.
People could lift, people could cab.
You can check the history, though.
You have to match it all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All your
Jake, are you saying that you would cheat?
Never. It seems like an easy loophole if you wanted to.
I mean, I'm not a cheater. I would not do it.
Yeah. Isn't there like a wheels up pool thing where you can like share a private flight with other people?
Sounds like broke boy behavior to me.
Oh, next year's in Vegas. If we wanted to theme something there.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. A job well done, boys. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun.
Hopefully not too sore Wednesday.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you're. I guess I hope you're not.
No, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Like, if you're
Max's
sore,
face right now.
I'm really going through it.
He just started burping.
If you're sore, that's like okay, cool.
Yeah.
I hope you're a little bit sore. Actually.
I think Wednesday, Thursday will be. I think by Friday I should be 100%.
All right, let's just put it this way: if you are sore, don't need to tell us.
And I won't.
Okay.
Just basically, just don't go bowling for the next like 3 days and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Trust Tree, the toppings on those Nathan's hot dogs, I'd literally go back and get some more.
Right now?
Yeah. I'm finally I finished earlier all my hot dogs.
Yeah,
I'm like hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would 100% go eat one of those chili dogs with the sauerkraut again. And the red onion. It was so good.
Yeah. The food there was fantastic. And watching Pete Weber bowl in person was
awesome.
Just as majestic as you would think.
He stepped up first one strike. Just felt awesome.
Super smooth.
Okay. Numbers. Did I say we're doing 2? I think we're doing 2.
Yep. I'm going to do 69.
I'll do 17.
I'm going to do 51.
He's explaining the rules.
18.
You can pick another. No, we're going to do 2 drawings.
We're all doing. Okay, so when do we start for the first drawing?
We already did.
I'd like both my 20. Numbers to be 69.
Nick, no, you
okay.
Can't
that. You know what? PFT.
18.
It's your birthday? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
I think
96.
So. Yeah.
My birthday treat for the birthday boy.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll take 96.
51, I asked Stu. Stu is, this is my number via Stu. 51.
Okay. Have you ever gotten this?
I have not ever gotten
this. Has Stu?
No. I don't think so.
20 for Maddox.
Come on, Stu.
This could be easy.
Oh, by the way, I have another.
I have more money to put in the pot.
Same. I have another 1,000.
70.
Oh, fuck. One off.
Okay, putting 70 back in, and we'll do one more number. I also will do 17 again.
20.
What's that?
That's the sixth time.
Max is...
This is 18 again for me.
Hank, what are you seeding with more money?
Oh, I didn't pay up for this week yet.
Yeah, I got to pay for this week.
I have not paid up.
This is my second. This is my... This is it.
Oh, okay.
My final seed.
Splashing it again. You have to match it, you know.
What?
If someone wins, you match it.
What?
Yeah. That was the rule.
All right.
So you're putting the seed money back in your wallet.
What seed money?
All right, 17. You got 69 PFT?
I did get 69, yeah.
I got 96.
All right. Second number, Hank. Actually, I'm going to do 51.
18.
31.
I'll do 17.
Oh, no, 17. I was 17.
Oh.
I think Max had it first.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think I had it first.
I
had 17 hot dogs. That's the only reason I'm picking
so
it.
So Max had it first.
All right, no seed money then.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. 31, it's fine.
17 or 51 hit. Oh, my God.
Or fucking 31 for the kid. 31 to 1 kid.
45.
Oh, dude, Billy, it's all the time.
You are never getting it.
Billy, you should have picked that one.
45 would have given me that tax break.
Yep. Yeah.
Tied for second place. 8 times.
I knew it. Wow, Hank, you're... Yeah. Yeah. You're never getting it.
Wait, so I have to match?
Yeah.
Love you guys. Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is an up day to find you. Shy it away. I'll be coming for your love of faith.
Better to be safe than sorry.